be Monday, the same, hopefully the same format as all of the other machines. So we'll have it here, I think, at 1 o'clock on Monday. It makes sense. Why shouldn't we start at 1 o'clock? You know, 1 o'clock, people get the call later on time. One hashmata from last time. That's actually two hashmatas, but one we'll get to a little bit later. The first one is that we discussed people going to the hospital on Shabbos, but we didn't discuss if you can come home from the hospital on Shabbos. Let's say a woman goes to the hospital and it's a forced labor. So now she's stuck there with her husband on Shabbos. What can they do? So most poskim hold that she can come home from the hospital. Especially, I mean, if it's 40 minutes before the end of Shabbos, a half an hour before the end of Shabbos, even an hour before the end of Shabbos, or just wait there in the waiting room till Shabbos is over. But if it's going to be, she's going to be there the whole Shabbos afternoon, a few hours, and it's uncomfortable, she's 9 months pregnant, or a person went for another reason, you know, and he was let out of the hospital Shabbos morning, or he went Friday night, and they didn't need to admit him, or something like that, then a person could come home because it's he's like a Chayla Shein Bo Sakan over there in the waiting room. It's not, he can't have Shabbos like that. Shafley mentioned the difference far that that people get sick in hospitals. So if you wait around in the waiting room, maybe you'll get sick. I don't know. It's a hard for it. It's not pikuach nefesh to wait in a hospital waiting room. I don't know. Then how can you visit hospitals if people get sick in hospitals? But anyway, that was a Shafley's horror that maybe we people should be able to go home because it's not 100% safe to be in the hospital for no reason. So, but how should they go home? Obviously with a taxi, a miru enough, or other isurim derabban. Moving on to Amiru Anachri. The Amiru Anachri is assumed to be Anisa Midrabanan, even though the Mechilta de Rashbi in Parshas Bo, this is quoted by the Beis Yosef, comments on the Pasuk regarding Yom Tov, Kol Melacha Lo Yeh Oseh Bohem, any Melacha should not be done for them or by them. So the Mechilta comments, Hu Adin Shlo Yaseh Goy Melachtecha. You should not have a guy do your malacha. So it sounds like it's an Issa Doraisa. If it's Issa Doraisa on Yom Tov, it's a Kavu Chaymer to Shabbos. So Rashi, that's some Rishonim, the Smag had a suffix whether or not there's an Issa of Amiru Lenachri on Shabbos Midoraisa. Rashi also comments on the Pasuk, Kol Malacha Lo Yesa Behem, Afil Al Yidei Acherim. Same idea. So it sounds like it's an Issa Midoraisa. So the Ramban Al Torah there already. Yes, what do you mean? How could it be an Issa Midoraisa? Nachri are allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos. So rather Rashi means if he's doing it for Yisrael. So Ramban can't believe that really there's an Issa of Amiru Anachri Midoraisa, so the Ramban says this is only an Asmach to be Alma. And that's quoted by the Sharatzion. It's in Simei Reish Mem Gimel, in Zion, he quotes that Ramban on the Torah, that the Issa of Amiru Anachri, there may be an Asmachta in the Pasuk, but it's assumed to be only an Issa Midrabanan. The Malbim has a beautiful explanation of why an Asmachta was needed, because he says the Taz has a rule on Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, and elsewhere the Chazal cannot make a Gzera if it goes against an explicit Pasuk in the Torah. So how could they make a Gzera that Amiru Anachri is also an explicit Pasuk in the Torah, and Anachri is allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos? So we needed even an Asmachta in the Pasuk, which shows us, maybe it's not so Pashut that an Achri can do a Malacha on Shabbos, and then Chazal have room to make their Gzera of Amiru and Achri, and it's not flying in the face of a Pasuk. Interesting Malbim. But even though the generally Amiru and Achri is assumed to be Midrabanan, there perhaps is a form of Amiru and Achri which is Doraisa. The Pasuk says in Parashas Mishpatim, Sheshes Yomim Teyasim Asecha, Uviyom Ashvi Tishbos, Lomani Anuach Sharcha V'chamarcha V'inofesh Ben Amoscha V'hager. Who's that ger? So the Gemara says in Yavam, it's not a ger tzedek. He's a full-fledged Yisrael. Rather, the Gemara says, it must be it's a ger toshav. So Rashi there says, a ger toshav is chayv in Shmiru Shabbos. Rashi in Yavamis. So Tosfos says, can't be. How's a ger toshav chayv in Shmiru Shabbos? A ger toshav is not Jewish. It's not one of the Shevet Mitzvos B'nai Noach. So Tosfos says that no, it refers to Amiru Lenachri. Amiru Lenachri to a ger toshav, that's Doraisa. Okay, where do we have Ger Toshav Bizman Azeh? So those, some of you might be familiar with Cook, as part of his famous Heter Mechira, one of his Tzadim Lahakel, that one is allowed to sell Karka in Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs for the Shnas HaShemitahs, that there's an Isra in the Torah to sell Karka in Eretz Yisrael to non-Jews. It's part of Lo Yisachonim. So Rav Cook suggested that perhaps the Arabs, Bizman Azeh, have the status of Ger Toshav, because they keep the Shevet Mitzvos B'nai Noach. The Chazanish disagreed, important disagreement, but that was Rav Cook's opinion, that they have the status of a Ger Toshav. So then Rav Cook says, whoa, so maybe you can't have a Shabbos guy who keeps Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. have a lot of religious non-Jews, perhaps, who keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So, and according to Rav Kook, are they going to have the status of a Ger Toshav, even a Hachmir, that there should be a Nisa of Amir Ulanachri? So Rav Kook backs out of that. And he says, no, maybe we could distinguish between a Ger Toshav for Amir Ulanachri versus a Ger Toshav for purposes of selling karka in Eretz Yisrael. As long as he's not an Ovid of Avodah Zarah B'Poel, so then maybe we can sell karka to him in Eretz Yisrael. But the Nisa of Amir Ulanachri would have to be a full-fledged Ger Toshav. But he was bothered with that. There is an issue of Amir Ulanachri Midoraisa by Ger Toshav, but maybe if you keep Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, have the status of a Ger Toshav. Nobody passes like that on my side. Something interesting to think about. But anyway, we do assume that the issue of Amir Ulanachri is only Midorabonan, and of course the Rishonim have three reasons why that should be so. The Rambam's reason is, because of a chashash, you might come to do it yourself. And Rashi, throughout Shas, has two different reasons, one in Avodah Zarah and one in Bava Metzia. Rashi in Avodah Zarah says the reason is because of the Pasuk in Yeshayim, Mimtzoy Chafatzech, V'daber Dovar. And the Gemara Darshan, Shelo Yehei Diburcha B'Shabbos, Ki Diburcha B'Chol. So you shouldn't discuss Malacha on Shabbos, and here I'm discussing Malacha. Rashi in Bava Metzia says the reason is because, Yesh Shlichus La'akum L'Chumra, even though the Gemara in Kiddushin comments on the Pasuk by Truma, Gam Atem, L'Rabo Shluchachem, that there's a concept of Shulcha Shal Adam Kamoso, and the Gemara says, Ma Atem B'nei Bris, Af Shulchachem B'nei Bris. In order to apply the concept of Shulcha Shal Adam Kamoso, the person has to be Jewish. Nonetheless, perhaps here there was Yesh Shlichus La'akum L'chumra. Yeah, they made it that we should say Shulcha Shal Adam Kamoso to the Nachri who's doing the Malacha for you on Shabbos. Why does Rashi have these two reasons? The Stipler has a long piece about that, and Avnei Nezer says the same thing, that both reasons are necessary, because one reason would even apply on Erev Shabbos, and one reason would apply even if you asked the Nachri on Shabbos to do something Matzei Shabbos. If I ask the Nachri on Friday, I say, please come to my house and turn on all the lights Shabbos morning. So I asked him on Friday, what's the problem? There's no problem of a Daber Dover, so that's why Rashi needed the issue of Yesh Lichus L'Akum L'Chumra, because even that's usher, to plan with him on Friday to come on Shabbos to turn on the lights. And let's say I asked the Nachri on Shabbos, can you come Matzei Shabbos and turn off the lights? Or come Matzei Shabbos and turn on the lights when I'm not home, or whatever. So I'm not asking him to do anything on Shabbos. There's no Yesh Lichus L'Akum L'Chumra, because when he does it, it's going to be Sunday already. But that's also because of the principle of Vidaber Dover. So that's why Rashi needed those two reasons to include those two scenarios. The Avnei Nezer thinks he has a Hagayis Maimonides that also says that it's also because of Yesh Shlichus La'akum L'chumra, but it's not necessarily that pashut. The Hagayis Maimonides says that one is not allowed to give money to a Nachri on Erev Shabbos so that he should buy something for him on Shabbos. You guys say there's an auction going on. A fancy piece of art, and it's on Saturday. So I asked the Nachri, you go and bid for me. Here's my little circle, my card. You pick up, and we haven't been to an auction. Anyway, so you pick up your little card, and then he's going to pay for it for me on Shabbos. So the Hagos Maimonides says that's also. So Avnei Nezer says, why? I'm asking him on Friday. Must be the Hagos Maimonides holds of that Rashi that it's also even on Friday if he to do a malacha on Shabbos because Yesh Shlichus La'akum L'chumra. However, Rav Shechter in the Eretz HaTzvi suggests that perhaps that's not the Pshat in Hagos Maimonides, but perhaps he's driving at something else entirely, which is a very important point as well. And that is, the Rebbe Kiva Eger has a suffix, what is the Isar Mekach U'Memkar on Shabbos? Again, we're not going to go too far off topic, but Rebbe Kiva Eger has that suffix. Is the Isar Mekach U'Memkar on Shabbos that a Kenyan happened on my behalf? Or is, no, the Isar is not to do a Maisa Kenyan. That's his suffix. When does this come up? It comes up every time there's an Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos. Because we need to sell the chametz. When do you sell the chametz? So you could sell it all Erev Pesach. But then you have to leave out all the chametz that you have with you you could sell it the day before Erev Pesach. But then you have to leave out all the chametz that you're going to eat on Shabbos. And maybe you'll have crumbs left over on Shabbos. So that's not the greatest. So that's what many do. Or Rabbi Kiva Eger wanted to know, could you make the sale on Friday and have it be delayed? The Chalos Kinyan won't take place until Shabbos itself, Erev Pesach. So he wasn't sure, maybe one still violates the Gzeir of Mekach U'Memkar, even though he did the Maisa Kinyan on Shabbos, and the Chalos Kinyan did the Maisa Kinyan Erev Shabbos, but the Chalos Kinyan will take place on Shabbos, maybe he still violates the Gzeir of Mekach U'Memkar. And Poskim argue about this lemaisa. I asked Rabbi Willick, he said one way. I asked Shafi, he said we should know the minig is the other way. I don't know. But perhaps that goes by many means. No, even if I ask the Nachri on Friday to bid for me at the auction and to pay for the piece of art on Shabbos, I'm still violating Mechaku Memkar, even though I'm not doing anything. Because if we pass it like that side in Rabbi Kiva Eger, that Mechaku Memkar could be violated by Shei Val Tasa, I'm sitting at home, the Nachri, the Kinyan takes place, Memelo, we contracted everything on Friday, but the Kinyan takes place on Shabbos, I can still violate Mechaku Memkar. Because Mechaku Memkar means I had a Kinyan that was Chal on my behalf on Shabbos. So maybe that's what the Hagoyis Maimonides means, is that you can violate Mechachu Memkar even by doing nothing. Certainly if a Nachri is doing it on my behalf, you can still violate Mechachu Memkar. And that's an important distinction, that sometimes there are Isurim that a person can violate even though he's not doing anything. Parenthetically, it's important to know, many people thought, you get the Shaila a lot, let's say a guy wants to bid on an item on eBay that's ending on Shabbos. He wants to put up an item on eBay. People will be bidding on it on Shabbos, or maybe it'll be ending on Shabbos. That's different. But bidding on an item that will end on Shabbos, so is that also this problem of Mechachu Memkar? So the Pashup Shad is that no, it's totally unrelated. Because if you, for whatever reason, it's beyond the course of this discussion. Now we should stick to Tamir Menachem. We'll stick to Tamir Menachem. But anyway, but that Shad, and that goes Maimonides, represents a whole class of gzeros that Amiru Lanachri doesn't help. We don't even call it a shvus to shvus. If I ask the Nachri to contract the sale for me on Shabbos, it's not a shvus to shvus, because it's one shvus, because I can still violate that even though I'm not doing anything. We suggested this svara with regards to the Isser of Hachazara on Shabbos. When we were discussing the Halachas of Bishol, so we discussed if, let's say, let's say the food on Shabbos got cold, can I take the food, or I didn't realize, can I take the food out of the refrigerator, Aliday Amir Lanachri, and ask him to put it back on top of the blech on Shabbos. So, it's a shvus to shvus. If everything is cooked, it's only an isim midrabban of hachazara, shem yechad to begecholim, and asking the Nachri to do it should make it a shvus to shvus, which is mutter b'makom einik Shabbos, as we'll see later on. So many said, we quoted, some said yes, and the Chazanish said no, because the isim of hachazara, shem yechad to begecholim, the Nachri put it on, but I might come to stoke the coals. That's like this, mekachu memkar. That's not a Amir, shvus to shvus. I could even violate that without the Nachri, by myself. Or, Rav Shachter discusses there in Eretz HaTzvi, the wise and not mutter, let's say a guy's making a bar mitzvah on Shabbos, to hire a band of Nachrim to come and play by the bar mitzvah by lunch on Shabbos at the bar mitzvah. Shvus to shvus. Playing music on Shabbos is only Gzeres Shem Yisak and Klei Shir, and asking the Nachri to do it should lower it to a derabbanan, shvus to shvus. B'mokam Shever Brachas, B'mokam Bar Mitzvah should be Mutter. So why don't we allow that? So the answer could be because Gzeres Shem Yisak and Klishir is on me, even though the Nachri is playing the instrument. If it breaks, I might come to do it myself. So that's important to realize that the Yisav Amiru Lenachri lowers things to a Durabonon if I ask the Nachri to do it, but there's a whole class of Isurim where that might not, Amiru Lenachri might not help at all. You might still have the bona fide Isur itself. By the same token, just like there are some Isurim where Amiru Lanachri doesn't help to make it a Shvus to Shvus, there are some Isurim where perhaps this of Amiru Lanachri doesn't apply at all. For example, the Shaar HaTzion discusses whether or not it's also to ask Lanachri to do something on Shabbos, which is only also because of Uvdav Dechol. For example, somebody needs something for Shabbos, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Shabbos, that I can go into the store, the Jewish store, I can go into the Jewish store, tell them I need X, Y, and Z, as long as you don't mention Shemida or Shemaman. I don't tell them exact amount, exact volume that I need, and we don't discuss a price. I could go into the local Just Kosher and ask the guy, can I have, you know, a few potatoes for my children? We'll take care of it after Shabbos. That's Meikra Din, it's allowed. That's not Mekachu Memkar, because we didn't mention Shemida or Shemaman. However, the Achronim in the Mishnah Berurah say to walk into a non-Jewish store on Shabbos, that's Uvda Dechol. That's only if it's a Jewish market. But to walk into a non-Jewish store, CVS, a Rite Aid, that would be Uvda Dechol. So let's say I would ask the Nachri to do it for me. I need a few potatoes. I'll ask him to walk into the ShopRite for me. So Sharatzion has a machlokas achronim about that. Some achronim hold that it doesn't apply to uvda dechol. Why? Because uvda dechol means that I'm doing something that's choldik, whatever the issue of uvda dechol is, which again, as Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, is very hard issue to define. But maybe uvda dechol means if a Jew does it, if a nachri does it, there's no such thing as uvda dechol. The issue of uvda dechol doesn't apply to a nachri. So maybe it should be heter gomer if you ask the nachri to do something that's uvda dechol. The issue of amir or nachri doesn't apply. Parenthetically, and this relates to Chola B'Shabbos, which was the other Hashmata, which we forgot to mention last time, is that since Isur Midrabanan are mutter for a Chola She'en B'Sakana, let's say a person needs medication on Shabbos. Prescription. You go to the doctor, he says, oh, you have a Shabbos morning, the kid is screaming. So he asks the doctor in shul, he looks down the kid's throat, you know, he says, oh, he's strep. Push it. So he says, go to the, you know, you can go there, you get a prescription or whatever. Or, I don't know, you can somehow get it, I don't know who's going to write the prescription, but someone will write the prescription and can get it from the store, but can you go to the store and pay for the prescription? So certainly you ask an upper to do it, it's great. Lowers everything to a derabana, it lowers everything to the derabana, maybe it should be shvush to shvush, but you could even do it yourself. To go to the store yourself and buy the prescription medication with money, because handling money is mukta, mekachu memkar is the Rabbanan, Gzera Shema Yechtov. So all of these things should be mutter for a chola she'en bo sakonis. You could even go to the store yourself. I don't think you carry your whole wallet, but whatever you need to pay for the medication, and I don't think you could take the change. That's not for the tzarech, the chola. So it pays to have small bills in the house. But anyway, so you could pay for it, and then take the medication back to the chola she'en bo sakonis. Should be allowed. But if you have a nachri, certainly that's always better, yeah.
Well, just maybe tangential, but in such a case, would it be better to use then the credit card and write the chinui, your signature?
What's it, this is mukta. That's worse, that might be a malachim in the Rabbanan. Handling mukta is not. Handling mukta is probably better. Writing with your left hand and credit cards, and then you take away, you're going to leave the credit card there? Once you're done, you have your medication, so what's your hetzer to carry back the credit card?
The whole thought behind the muksa to begin with by money is because the accounting is by written by hand.
No, it's because it has no use on Shabbos. If you use real money from Monopoly, you hold you can play Monopoly on Shabbos. So then I think that would be the reason why money is muksa is it's muksa machmas chesam kis or has no use. But here it's tilto muksa. It's much better than using credit card, which you're going to want to carry home. I think. Of the dechol, of the.
Is that what it is? It's a gezeira.
At best. Gezeira to what? I don't know. That's a hard thing to define. So anyway, so the first thing that might not even apply to amir u'nachri is of the dechol. The prima gadim has a suffix in hilchos yamtiv, whether the iser of hachana from Shabbos to chol applies ayidei nachri. Because Rashi explains in Shabbos that the Isur of Hachana from Shabbos to Chol is one of Tircha. It's a Tircha to do things from Shabbos to Chol, and you're not supposed to be Tereach on Shabbos for no reason. the Nachri, to ask the Nachri to do Hachana, there's no Isur of Tircha for the Nachri, so maybe the whole Isur of Amir Nachri doesn't apply. The Mishnah Berurah and the Sharatzion, I believe it's on the Mar Makomos. Almost everything we're quoting is on the Mar Makomos. Sharatzion is Machmir on that. However, the Marsham in his Das Torah, which is a running commentary on Shulchan Aruch, is Mako. It says then they showed him the Prima Gadim as a suffix about it, but Lamai said he's Mako, that Hachana doesn't apply to Amiru and Ochri. So I've asked different poskim, I've gotten different responses. Some I asked, Chas v'Shalom to be Mater Amiru and Ochri for Hachana, but then I've heard others hold it that it's Mutter. So my mahalach is, but again you come up with your own, is that B'makom Tzarech we would allow it. Someone asked me, I know people who do this, they go to the in-laws' house for Shabbos and they want to get out of there the minute Shabbos is over. So let's say there's a Nachri in the house. Can they ask the Nachri to pack the suitcases? Boom, Shabbos is over, they're out. So maybe if that's a tzarech for you, it doesn't go that well. Yeah. I know people who do that. And it's a lot. Some posts can pass them like the Marsham. You pass them like the Marsham, it should be allowed. But then in hotels, they could set the table. Let's say they're there for Yom Tov. You could set the tables and do everything. If you have a Nachri in the house for Yom Tov Sheni already when it's Yom Tov Rishon, I don't know. Cook the food. It's hard to believe all that. Another area where perhaps Amiru Anachri, the whole Issa, doesn't apply is if it could be done in a permissible way. The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Mem Zayin Sif Gimel says that if you give the Nachri something to do which he could do during the week, so then the Nachri doesn't have to do it on Shabbos at all. And he decides to do it on Shabbos, that's a Dai to the Nafshe Avad. He's doing that on his own. Then there's no Issa of Amiru Anachri at all. Or if I give the Nachri something to do which he could very easily do in a permissible way, so then the Isser of Amiru Anachri doesn't apply. The Kaf HaChaim discusses the minhag that was in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, which was that they would ask the Nachum to wash the floor on Shabbos. How could you wash the floor? It's Shechita, and this and that. So he says, no, but there's a permissible way to wash the floor. If you use a squeegee, you pour water on the floor first, and you use something that doesn't absorb the water, and just push the water around. That's not an Isser of Shechita. So the Kaf HaChaim says, since there's a permissible way to do it, so maybe the Issa of Amiru Anachri doesn't apply. Or this comes up for people who live in a building that has a doorman. So lots of times the doorman sees you, if you tip him well, sees you walking down the street and he buzzes you in. He just violates. Is he allowed to buzz you in? So many posts can hold, yes, of course. Why? Because he could get up and open the door for you. He doesn't want to get up. So instead of getting up, he pushes the little button. So that's something which could easily be done in a Derech Heter, which he's doing in a Derech Isser, that's a diet to the Nafshe Yavad. Or let's say you want to ask the Nachri to wash dishes. If you have a Nachri in the house, you want to ask her to wash the Friday night dishes for Shabbos morning. So, if there's, let's say, a Shabbos sponge there, which she could do it in an easy way without violating Shabbos, and she wants to use this real sponge, okay, that's up to her. She could have easily done it in a mutter way. Rabbi Neuberger mentioned that perhaps she could wash with her hands. So I don't know, that's more difficult, because really, people wash dishes with their hands, they pour soap on their, I've never seen anybody wash dishes with their hands. So you say, well, you do.
I've seen it.
I've never seen, how many people here have seen that? People put soap on their hands and wash dishes with their, wash a whole stack of dishes with their hands.
One dish. If you're a bachelor, you have one dish.
Oh, so. Okay, yeshiva guys, we don't bring Ryan's, that's Aleph, we all know that. But, okay, I don't think that's the standard way you wash dishes, is by putting soap on your hands and washing it around like that. So I think that's really a realistic expectation? Or another example is...
is that qualitatively different
than the Kaf HaChaim? Well, yeah, I think if all I have in my house is a mop, I don't have a squeegee in my house, well, I can't say, well, you could have done it with the squeegee. Or, well, you know, you could have used a spritz bottle and then gone around with paper towels all over the place. I don't think that's logical. Or, for example, the Orch HaShabbos has the following example. Is, let's say, you want to ask the Nachri, staying in a hotel in Eretz Yisrael, you ask the Nachri to bring up food to the hotel room. What is that? Not Eretz Yisrael. Ask the Nachri to bring up food to the hotel room. So he's going to take the elevator. So you really, or let's say I'm in a hotel, I ask the Nachri, can you send up a few pillows on Friday night? So he's going to take the elevator. I just asked him to take the elevator on Shabbos. Maybe a shush, the shush, makom mitzvah, but let's not get involved in that. But let's... Am I really allowed to ask him to do that? To take the elevator? So, oh no, he could always take the stairs. So the Orch HaShabbos says, let's say I'm on the 25th floor. Do you think he's going to take the stairs? Is that really a realistic expectation?
If he were Jewish, he would. I'm saying, like, if he were Jewish and he needed to get pillows up to the 25th floor.
So he has the following Hagdara in the name of Rav Nissen Karelis. I think it's very good. And that is that he said, if you're staying on the third floor, and let's say the elevators would be broken. So he says, if they would ask the Nachri to take the pillows up to the third floor, he probably wouldn't protest. Yeah, carry it up to the third floor, what's the big deal? But if they would ask him, all the elevators are broken, we're going to have to carry everything up by foot. You think he's carrying up a few pillows? This guy wants ice. He's carrying up ice. 35 floors? No. So he says, whatever he would do, if the thing would be broken, he would do it that way. Let's say there was no regular sponge. The Nachri would use the Shabbos sponge. If there were no sponges there, or if there was no mop, and I said, please wash the floor, you think, I don't know what she would do, but I don't know if she would sit there with a fantastic bottle or a spray bottle of water going around with paper towels. Probably not. Or I don't know if the Nachri would think to wash with her hands. She'd probably come to me and say, there's no sponges. That's my assumption. I've never seen someone put soap on their hands and wash like that. So then you have no right to assume that's called a daita de nafshe yavad. Or, for example, there's another halacha. Someone asked me over summer, it's a good kasha, is that there's a shayla we're going to get to when we discuss shvus to shvus, is muta b'makoy mitzvah, so the shmir shavus kol chasa kosum shalom azalman, that one of the shvusim could be if I ask the Nachri to do something kelachar yad. It's not generally what we think of as a shvus to shvus. I ask the Nachri, can you turn on the light kelachar yad? That's the Shvus to Shvus. The Prima Gadim has a suffix about it in the Tikkunim of the Shmir Shabbos Kolchaz. He quotes at the Prima Gadim in the third volume. He quotes that the Prima Gadim has a suffix about it, and he leaves off with Sarachiyin. But he, in the body of the text of the Shmir Shabbos, said that he thought, quotes the name of Shlomo Zalman, that would be considered a Shvus to Shvus. But then he quotes from the Eshel Avram, from the Pachacha Rav, that let's say I tell the Nachri to do something Bishinoi, and the Nachri doesn't do it Bishinoi. The Nachri does it normally. I say, please turn on the light with your elbow, and the Nachri turns it on normally. So now can I benefit from the light? So he says, yeah, because the Nachri did it a daite de nafshei avan. He did it on his own. Who told you to do it normally? You did it on your own. So you did it on your own. You did it on your own. That's your problem. So then it should come out. So then every time I ask the Nachri to turn on the light, why don't you do it with your elbow? You did it normally. Who told you to do it normally? That's a daita de nafshei avad. So the Aruch HaShabbos says, no, you see from here that it's only if it's an obvious thing. Why in the world would the guy think to turn on his light with his foot? If I tell him to turn on his light with the foot and he does it normally, okay, that's a daita de nafshei avad. But if I tell him to do it, I just tell him to turn on the light, and he does it with his normally. So that's shvus to shvus, because it's a daita de nafshei avad? No. It has to be something that's obvious. Then I could say, okay, you're doing it a daita de nafshei avad. But if you need to be a lamdan in order to come up with a way that they would make him mutter, I don't think that that's called a daita de nafshei avad. So again, there was three things. Maybe uvdu d'chol, maybe hachana, maybe something that the nachri can do on his own in a mutter way. The issue of amir onachri would not apply. One other example of that is perhaps psik reshe. The Rama in the Simon about sweeping the floor discusses that if you have a floor that's made out of dirt, that then you can't sweep the floor. Xereshema mashvegumos. Maybe you will even out the floor related to Chorish. However, the Rama there says that a Nachri can sweep the floor. Shin Lamed Vav, I think it is. Simon Shin Lamed Vav. The Nachri can sweep the floor. Maybe there'll be mashvegumos. Yeah, but that's not what they intend. They intend to pick up all the crumbs. So it's a davar sheino miskaven. Oh, but it's a psik reishe. It happens every time that you smooth out the floor when you sweep it. So the Rama says, yeah, but psik reishe is mutar yidei amiru l'nachri. Well, we had that in Simon Reishon and Gimel about the Nachri who's heating up the house by turning on the furnace, which is mutar because hakol cholam etzel tzina. But so the Rama says, and even if there is food that gets heated up on the Tanur Beis Achorek, if you put cholent there first, I forgot, you guys probably remember better. I think if you put the cholent on the furnace first, so the Nachri then, you see the Nachri now is all of a sudden heating up the cholent. That's an Isur of HaChazara. So the Rama says, no, that's a Davar Sheino Miskaven. It's gonna, for sure going to happen. That's not what they intend. The Nachri intends to heat up the house, but it's a Psig Reishe. It will happen. Psig Reishe is Mutra Yidei Amiru HaNachri. Why? So the Baruch Tam, which is a commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, explains because the Iser of Amira relates to what I told him to do. I didn't tell him to heat up the cholent. I told him to turn on the furnace. That's allowed. Because of that, a secondary result will be that the cholent will be heated up. Okay, but that wasn't included in my Amira Lenochri. My Amira Lenochri was for something that wasn't allowed. And the Psik Reishe is something that comes agav that. So that's not included. That's what Rav Moshe says if a person, this happens all the time, a person forgets to turn off the light in the refrigerator before Shabbos, or in the oven before Shabbos. So you can ask, if you have a Nachri around, the best etza is to ask a Nachri to open the refrigerator, open the oven, because it's a davar sheino miskaven to the light, they intend just to open the refrigerator. It's a psik reishe, it's going to happen every time, but psik reishe through Amir Nachri is allowed. Or the Shmir Shabbos Kolchaz says that one could ask the Nachri to wash the dishes in hot water. As long as you don't have a fancy water heating system which heats the water as you use it, you know, it goes through coils. It's a new system of heating water. You have the old-fashioned, like everybody has a water tank in the basement. So what happens is when you use the hot water, new cold water comes in. That's why we don't use the hot water on Shabbos, because you turn on the hot water, new cold water is going to come in. It's not what I intend for. I intend to use the hot water now. But it's a davar sheino miskaven, it's a psik reishe. Happens every time. But the Nachri, psik reishe is allowed, so the Nachri can even wash the dishes on Shabbos or Chachilah in hot water.
But since that, we said you couldn't wash my hands, so why is it okay to ask
you
to wash the dishes?
So that's why we, for a period of time, my wife's done better, is we had a Nachri in the house on Shabbos. So my wife liked to wash the dishes on Friday, just save time, whatever. So we didn't have a Shabbos sponge, we don't wash dishes on Shabbos, we put in dishwasher. So I went out on Friday, bought a Shabbos sponge, put it right there. We never used it, but it's there in case Anachri decides. I asked her to wash the dishes. There's two sponges there. Who told her to use the fancy sponge? It's very easy to use the Shabbos sponge. So I think that would be, but I think you have to have some other option of doing it other than some normal mutter way. What do you do once it's open?
Yeah, saying so you can only take things out and then you can close.
That's
it.
That's beyond the scope of the shit. You're 100% right. What do you do? I got you to at least go open the refrigerator. What do you do once it's open? You sit there, the whole shop is holding it.
So you just take the things out and then turn to close it.
Ah, you can ask the nuclear to close it, for sure.
Right, so
for sure.
That's all you can do.
That's right. Now, there's other eights with closes on its own, and, you know, like the guy who gets, the guy who goes to the bathroom in a hotel or something on Shabbos didn't realize that it's an automatic urinal. So what does he have to do? Stand there the whole time so he can't walk away. So Sifas Frank discusses this. If things happen on their own, and I'm just standing there preventing it from happening. Anyway, it's beyond the scope.
So what's the difference between asking him to wash dishes with hot water and asking him to use the regular...
Because here it's a psik reshe. Psik reshe is a different hetter. Not a daite denashe avad. Psik reshe is because I'm not asking him to turn on the hot water. If I would ask him to turn on that water, the whole svara is because it's not included in my amira. So if I ask him to turn on the hot water, maybe it is included in my amira. But if I say wash the dishes and he washes in hot water,
I can't say wash with hot water. Just
I don't know. I think because the Baruch Tam said the whole reason it's allowed is because it's not included in my amira. I ask him to open the refrigerator door and the light turns on, but that's not what I ask him to do. So maybe you can't ask him to wash it in hot water, but you know they always wash dishes in hot water. Minimal intelligence will wash the dishes in hot water. So then you don't have to stop them, you don't have to tell them not to. Right, but I don't think you could ask them to wash them out. The Mishnah Brura in Simen Reish Nun Beis Sukkan Chav Zayin quotes another heter from the Taz, where the Is of Amira Nachri would not apply, which is more, I guess we should have really put this with a Daite Denafshi Avad. It's more of an extension of a Daite Denafshi Avad. He says, let's say I ask the Nachri to wash the dishes, but the kitchen is dark. So Nachri has to turn on the light to wash the dishes. I asked the Rebbe Kiva Eger, quote from the Ranach, had the case that they wanted a sefer, so he asked the Nachri to go into, he wanted the lights on in the library, in his study. So he go to the Nachri and say, do you mind getting me this, the third book on the fourth shelf from the end? So how's the Nachri going to find that? He's going to have to turn on the lights. So he says, when the lights are on, he said, I'll get it myself. Because the Nachri went to turn on the lights for himself. I asked him to get the book. That's all I did. That's a Dever Heter. He goes and he turns on the lights. That he did for himself. So the Taz held, the Mishnah Brura discusses at length, that Taz, that even that case would be allowed. That's not the same as the case of, let's say, I asked a Nachri to take something, we're going to discuss later, sending a Nachri to give a package or something like that, where I asked a Nachri to take it somewhere else. So I say, do you mind bringing this, or I send it with UPS, I say, can you send this package to California? So I give him the package, that's allowed. He travels on his own. No, that's totally different. Because that's what I'm asking him to do. That's part of the action that I'm asking him to do. But if I ask the Nachri to get a book, and the Nachri, in order to get the book, needs to turn on the light, that should be allowed. Or this happens, let's say a guy wants to take a taxi on Matzei Shabbos to the airport. So I ask the taxi, can you come Matzei Shabbos right away? The guy's in a big rush. But the guy, I'm really asking the guy, then drive on Shabbos to my house and wait outside my house till Shabbos is over. So aren't I really asking him to drive on Shabbos? So Orcha Shabbos says, no, I'm asking him to take me to the airport. The fact that he needs to drive to my house before Shabbos in order to get there on time, that's the heter of the Taz. He does that for his own benefit, not for me.
And this doesn't have to be where it's possible to do it some other way.
No. But I asked you to wash the dishes. There's nothing wrong with washing the dishes. I have my Shabbos sponge, regular sponge. But then the Nachri is dark. So that she does for herself. She doesn't do that for me. But then once he did it, once he turns on the lights in the study, since he did it for himself, I could use them now. So if you need the lights on in a room, an interesting Eitza is, ask the Nachri to go get something. That was Rabbi Kivegas Eitza. Ask the Nachri to get something from the room, which they can't get without turning on the lights, and they turn on the lights for themselves.
But if it's not possible to do without the lights on, then... That isn't that an open door for us to permit
anything? So that's why Orchashavas is a very critical distinction. That no, if I ask the guy to do something, if it's included in the activity, he has the example, for example, if let's say I take a bus, I'm on say Shabbos, which started driving on Shabbos. It has a bus route. See, he thinks, the Rosh HaShabbos, I think, quotes from, I forgot from who, someone, that you can't take the bus on Matzei Shabbos if it left on Shabbos, because in order to get to me, it had to leave on Shabbos. So I'm really, by paying for the bus, asking the guy to leave on Shabbos in order to come to me. So he says, no, that's different, because there, that's the bus route. That it all goes together. But whenever the activities don't go together naturally, I'm asking you to wash the dishes. If the lights would be on, you'd have no problem. So I'm really asking you to do a davar mutar. Ah, in order to do that activity, you need to turn on the lights for yourself. Okay, that's for yourself. But if the activity and the action, again, is it a little bit up to the judgment? Yeah, it's a judgment call.
The Orphos Shabbos said the case of the airport.
Right.
The taxi is exactly the same as the bus. No.
So he said that he does for himself.
Because
a bus route is all or nothing. Once the bus route starts, I'm asking you, run your bus route. But a taxi,
I'm
maybe
asking
a little
to be there at
8
o'clock. Shabbos is over 8 o'clock. He clearly
that he does for himself. I'm asking you, I say, I need to get to the airport at 8 o'clock. Okay, that's mutter. If I take the bus, I'm saying, I need to take this bus. But that means you need to start your bus route on Shabbos. Because that all goes together. I don't love it either. I don't love the bus thing. I would have been more make on the bus.
If I tell you you need to be in my house at 8 o'clock and
Charlie's
over at 7:59,
right.
There's no way to get there.
Right. Oh, but let's say I say I want to take this package to California. I say, I'm just asking you to take the package to California. You drive, that's for yourself.
Same thing.
Nah, so we don't say that. That says in the Shulchan Aruch, that's no good.
It's the same, it's according to his chilek, it's the same thing. He can go there wherever he wants.
Okay, but we have to distinguish between the Taz and that which it says in the Shulchan Aruch. So I think that's a fair distinction. Yeah.
How does the distinction between the garbage collector who has a route that always takes, if you leave your garbage out, it happens to be that the route to pick up is always going to be on Friday night. Sometimes during the year it's going to be...
It's a shiloh on your one
after. I remember learning years ago that everyone says it's mutter because it's part of the normal route. If you were to put it in, it wasn't part of the normal route, then that would be the problem. But because it is part of the normal route, then it's mutter.
I don't follow exactly what you're saying.
Because it's the part of the normal route.
Okay, we'll have to discuss. What Easter is the garbage man doing? Okay. He's compacting my garbage, doing outside. Yeah, we're not going to discuss. We should have discussed that at length. Garbage.
Newspaper.
For next day. We're going to discuss the newspaper. Garbage, I forgot. Okay. So those are the times when Easter of Amir and Afri doesn't apply. The Issur of Amir Lenachri, though, is only, or could be, only if I ask the Nachri to do something explicitly. The Chavos Yoyer, which is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, suggests that perhaps Amira da Amira, if I ask a Nachri to ask another Nachri, so then that's not included in the Issur of Amir Lenachri. However, the Chavos Yoyer has a tshuva there from the Avodas HaGershuni. He has one tshuva, then he has the Avodas HaGershuni's tshuva, then he has his response to Avodas HaGershuni. Disagreed with the Chavos Yoyer because of a Raya, because of a Svara. He said, first of all, why should it be any different? Just because they ask one nachri to ask another nachri. He says, it also appears like your shliach. It's also v'daber davar. So he doesn't understand why we should distinguish at all. And then he says, the Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbos that you're not allowed to hire workers on Shabbos. And then the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to ask your friend to hire workers for you. So says the Gemara, who's your friend? Another Jew? Of course he's not allowed to hire workers for you. So Gemara says, it must be, it's a Nachri. And even a Nachri, you're not allowed to ask a Nachri to hire workers for you on Shabbos. So Chavos Yoyer says, no, that case was different. It's Mekach U'Memkar, a whole pshetel. But the Chavos Yoyer is very, very difficult. The Chasam Sofer said, if one wants to rely on this, this is all quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, but if one wants to rely on this Chavos Yoyer, perhaps, B'Shas Adchak, we can rely on it as long as you ask the guy on Erev Shabbos. I ask you on Erev Shabbos, Amira Damira, I ask a Nachri to ask another Nachri to do a Malacha for me. As long as I ask Erev Shabbos, where the V'daber Dover happened on a Friday, so there's no V'daber Dover, it's just Shlichus, maybe that would be allowed. But B'Shas Adchak. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Simon Shin Zayin, Sivkan Chavdawit from Reb Shlomo Kluger. The B'Shas Archak, perhaps one could be Mako if you asked on Erev Shabbos.
He needs to ask enough on Erev Shabbos too. The Dachmi needs to ask the other
Dachmi. I don't know. No, I think it's because of me, because my B'daber Dover should happen on Erev Shabbos. Or Ramiza, that Gemara there says in Masechet Shabbos that even though I can't hire workers on Shabbos, I can say, stick around with me till Matzei Shabbos, you never know what might happen. So Gemara says you can do that. So Shulchan Aruch derives from there in Simin Shin Zayin Siv Zayin that it's mutter to be meramis to a nachri to do a malacha, because the Gemara says you can say to the workers, stick around, you never know, there might be something going on. The Ramah there says in Sif Chav Beis, Shin Zayin, Sif Chav Beis, that that's only if I ask him to stick around till Motzei Shabbos. He's not doing anything for me on Shabbos. I had no Amira, there's no Vedaber Dover. I just said stick around. And he's not doing anything for me on Shabbos. So maybe that's allowed. But to add, to be Meramis to an Achri, to do Malach on Shabbos, certainly not allowed. And he has a proof, because the Mishnah says in Mesechta Shabbos, that if I see something is burning down, or a house is burning down, so you say, I could scream out, call Mechabe no Mafsid. Whoever will put out the fire won't lose out, meaning you'll get paid. But I don't say it explicitly. So Gemara says that's allowed. So says the Ramah, that's because it's B'makom Hefzed. So Ramiz is allowed B'makom Hefzed. But if it's not B'makom Hefzed, has not burning down, so then it wouldn't be allowed. The Mishnah Berurah is over there, Sifka Nayin Vav, quotes from the Magen Avram, that that's only true if your Meram is Derech Tzivoy. I mentioned the action, or I say, stick around, there might be, you know, something going on, or work going on. That's a little more explicit. But if I just tell the guy Megillah, I tell the guy Alanga Maisa, and he gets from there, maybe I should do this Raya Chesed by doing for him a Malacha, tell him a whole story, so Mishnah Berurah says that would be allowed. The Prima Gadim, though, quotes from the Rosh, so that's where we get this distinction of Ramiza B'derech Tzivoy versus Ramiza Shogo B'derech Tzivoy, Derech Sipur Dvarim Be'alma. The Prima Gadim, though, does quote from the Rosh, Rabbi Neuberger discussed this a little bit, that if I ask the Nachri to come over to my house, I say, come over! And then he comes over, and then I start telling him a whole story, so maybe that's not called Ramiza Shogo B'derech Tzivoy, because I commanded him, come over! So the Prima Gadim quotes like that from a Rosh, that maybe it should not be allowed. That should be called Ramiza B'derech Tzivoy. So that's why it's hard. Let's say you have a Shabbos guy in the shul or in the house to start being merames to them things. Because there, you're not... that's called Ramiza B'derech Tzivoy, maybe, because they work for me. We ask you to come on Shabbos. You work for me on Shabbos. So that's already a Tzivoy. So maybe the Ramiza B'derech Tzivoy Dvar B'yama doesn't really work for a Shabbos guy or someone who's working in the house. Besides which, if the guy already knows all the signals we make up beforehand, if I go like this, means turn on the lights, so then that's a joke. So over here, this guy's been through, you have the Shabbos going in the house for 20 years. The kids come by and everything, and then so she knows everything. She's done this all a million times. You start telling her a story about the lights, that means turn on the lights. So then that's not called Ramiza anymore. So those are the discussions with Ramiza and Amira the Amira. The question is, when does this heter of Ramiza Derech Sipur Dvarim B'Yalma ever come into play? The Mishnah says in Masechta Shabbos that even if a Nachri does a Malacha for me on their own, if a Nachri lights for me, turns on a light for me, lights a candle for me, even though he did it on his own, I'm not allowed to benefit from that candle. It says in the Ramah, Simi Reish Ayin Vav Sif Aleph, that if the Nachri does it on their own, I'm sitting in the room and the Nachri walks in, she sees me reading in the dark and she turns on the light. So I'm not allowed to benefit from the light. So the Ramah says, well, so I have to run out of the room? So Mishnah Berurah there, and the Ramah say, perhaps you don't have to run out of the room. I'm not triach you to go out. But you shouldn't, if you're not sitting in there to begin with, you shouldn't really go in there to benefit from it. Mishnah Berurah has one opinion that you have to turn away like this from the line. I don't know. But if the Nachri does it, I didn't ask her, so you're not supposed to go in dafka to benefit, but I don't know if you necessarily have to leave. But anyway, you're not allowed to benefit from the light. So Tosis there asks a major problem. He says, whoa, how then can you say, kol mechabe no mafsid? To be Merami to the Nachri, but Makom Hefzid to do something on Shabbos. Either way, you can't benefit from what they're going to do. If the Nachri turns on a light by themselves, you can't benefit from the light. So Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Shimshon that there's a difference between an action which I benefit a Hana, as we would say now in our, let's say, Lamdusha terminology, Hana Chiyuvis, something which is more proactive, like a light, versus Hana Shlilis. I get Hana from the fact that you got rid of something, a fire. That's not called benefiting from the malach of the Nachri. If the Nachri would put out the fire on his own, if you see him putting it out, the Mishnah says, you don't have to tell him, you don't have to tell him to stop putting it out. He does it on his own, then you can benefit, because that's not benefiting from something the Nachri did, it's from something that he got rid of. When is it also to benefit from something that the Nachri did, even on his own, is if it's something that's more proactive. And this is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, Shin Lamedal, it's a fun Samach Aleph, of course, that distinction from Tosos. Why should there be such a distinction? We could discuss in terms of Lam Dusha terms, why there should be such a distinction. But it makes enough sense. We can leave it as it is. So therefore, let's say, so the heter of being meramis to the nachri, derech sipur dvarim bialma, or if the nachri did something on his own, to benefit from it is only if it's not doing something which is proactive. So let's say the guy's alarm, house alarm, is going off. So he wants to... So first of all, most poskim hold you can turn it off. Kilacher yad. Why? Because it's, we'll see, it's a shvus to shvus. So people are, we didn't discuss this before, but people can't function when these house alarms go off. The mamish will drive you crazy. Very loud. So maybe that should be called the shvus, you do a kalachar yad, we treat electricity, assuming you have no filament bulbs in your alarm system, as a shvus, the shvus, that we must have b'makom the mitzvah of onik shavus. Or maybe even b'makom chol shem b'sakana, because you can't function like that, it's crazy. But let's say alarm is going off, so you could also ask the nachri to turn it off. Or be maramis to the nachri to turn it off. Maybe even ask the nachri, be shvus to shvus, b'makom mitzvah, same heter. Or let's say it's freezing in the house because the air conditioner is too high. So if you want to ask the nachri to turn it off, so you go over and tell the nachri, it's freezing in my house. We turned up the air conditioner too high before Shabbos. What can you do? And the nachri comes by and he turns off the air conditioner. So then you can benefit because the nachri got rid of something. But if I say, it's really hot in my house. So then, even if the nachri would turn it on his own, you couldn't benefit from the that which the nachri did. So certainly you can't be meramis to the nachri to turn it on. But to put out a candle, but not to turn on a candle. There's a little bit of an unclarity as to what is called a proactive hana versus what is called more of a hana shlilis. The Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Yom Tov quotes from Magen Avraham who discusses, let's say you have something trapped inside of a boar. I don't know what's in this boar, but there's something that you need that's trapped in this pit, but the pit is covered over on Shabbos, filled in. And the Nachri opens it up for you. He sees you struggling that you don't have this item, so he opens it up for you. So are you allowed to benefit from that item? Is that called a proactive hana, like turning on a light because he dug it out from the pit for me? Or is that called removing something, like a guy who turns off a light? So Magen Avraham is machmir on that. You're not allowed. The Teferis Yisrael, in the Kelkelas HaShabbos, Rav Shlomo Zalman has this whole discussion, I think it's in the Mar Makomos. The Teferis Yisrael in his Kelkelas HaShabbos disagrees with the Magen Avraham, and he says he has a right from the Magen Avraham that the Magen Avraham is wrong. Because in Shimon Shin Zion, Sif Yodalad, famous Sif. Shin Zion, Sif Yodalad, the Shulchan Aruch says that a person is not allowed to read the letters on Shabbos. We know that. That's an Issur of Kriya Shtari Hadyotos. The Mishnah says on Shabbos you can't read Kisvei HaKodesh. I'm sorry. You can't read Ein Karm B'Kisvei HaKodesh for Shabbos. You're not allowed to read Kisvei HaKodesh, Shir HaShirim, Rus on Shabbos from the Bittul Beis HaMedrash. So the Gemara says, if you can't read Shir HaShirim, certainly you can't read Shtari HaDyotos. It's part of the Yisr of the Daber Dava. But nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you get a letter on Shabbos and you don't know what's in it, maybe there's something that's vital to your health, to your survival. You never knew what you were going to get in the mail in those days. So maybe it's a Tzorech HaGuf, so you're allowed to read it on Shabbos. But let's say it's closed. What can you do? So he says, the Magen Avraham said, then you can be meramis to the Nachri to open it. You say, I can't read the letter. I got this letter. It's terrible. I can't read it. It's closed. So Kalkel Shabbos says, whoa, that's the same as the guy who retrieved something from the boar. He says to the Magen Avraham, how can you then read the letter? Aren't you benefiting from something that the Nachri did? And if you're going to call removing something from its encasing as a proactive hanas, you shouldn't be allowed to read the letter either. So the Kelkelas HaShabbos proves from that case they're removing something from something that's surrounding it. But you're not really creating anything. It's not called a proactive hanas. That's called a hanas shlilis. Yeah. We said that's because you're a choleh. Okay, if you go with that svara, okay. If you go with the svara that you're a chola, meaning it has to be really hot then. Really hot, and you have to be sensitive to the heat. So yeah, you have an older person in the house. Or maybe you said a guy's an istinus. Yeah.
We're going to talk about, is there a thing about training a dog? Like a dog does whatever thing. A dog knows what to do. So at a certain point, I'm not comparing. A guy knows what to do at a certain point. They're in your house long enough that they know whenever...
I don't know.
I didn't mean to compare. I, I'm saying, is it possible that at a certain point they just know what to do and you don't have to even tell them?
Well, Maisa, though, the Reb Shlomo Zalman and Reb Moshe disagree with the Tiferes Yisrael's Raya. They say the reason why you can open this envelope, you can be Merami to the Nachri to open it, is because there's no Malacha at all. Again, this goes way beyond the scope of our discussion, but there's a Braisa that's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah and the whole sugya of opening containers on Shabbos, that Kor and Or shall be a Chavis. You can rip through the Or that's on top of the Chavis, which contains food inside, in order to get to what's inside. Why? So many Mepharshim explain, many Poskim explain, because when you're just intent on getting to what's inside, whatever you destroy in your way is not called a Malacha. So that's why you can open the envelope, not because that's not called a proactive hana and you can benefit from that which the Nachri did. No, because there's no malacha here at all to rip through. So then why not do it yourself? So okay, a whole discussion on why you can't open the envelope yourself. But many poskim disagree with the raya of the Kokelos HaShabbos, because here it's different. You just there's no malacha here at all. Rav Moshe disagrees in an interesting case. Rav Moshe was asked about a person. This is a Yisrael, but the same should apply to a Nachri. If a Nachri brings a key, he was discussing, someone brought the key, they forgot the shul, and nobody had the key. So the Nachri brought the key through a Rishus HaRabim in order to get to the shul. So we now allowed to benefit by going into the shul from the fact that he brought the key through the Rishus HaRabim. Is that called benefiting from what the Nachri did because he brought the key? He didn't create the shul, he just brought the key. So Rav Moshe says, yeah, that's called benefiting from that which the Nachri did. So Shlomo Zalman has a letter in the Mor HaShabbos. Mor HaShabbos is a whole set of Sfarim and Hilchos Shabbos with a lot of original Ksavim from Shlomo Zalman. So Shlomo Zalman over there, and Rabbi Yashav is quoted, I forgot to mention, there's a very important Sefer on Amir HaNachri called Malachim Amnayach by Rabbi Zilberstein. I'm sure Rabbi Yashav's son-in-law. So in that Sefer, Malachim Amnayach, they disagree with Rav Moshe that that's not called... That's not even the same as the Magen Avraham. It's totally different. The Magen Avraham's case is where the thing is trapped in the ground and he released it. He said, here, the door's locked. It's not, nothing's trapped. The door's not butel to the building like he's trapped in a board just because it's locked. So they agree with Rav Moshe that we should pass on like the Magen Avraham. They disagree with his application to a locked door. That's why some posts can discuss also, let's say a guy, you're in a hotel for Shabbos. They arrange a convention in a hotel. And but they wanted to go to a fancy hotel, not one that has arranged for the Haimish Yidin already with the keys. They wanted to go to a fancy hotel, and all they have is the card keys. So many, I've heard of conventions, what they do is they post the Nachri on the floor, and whoever comes up to go to their room, they hand the card key to the Nachri, and the Nachri opens the door. What's that based on? It's based on Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah. I'm asking the Nachri, using the door is only the Rabbanon, so Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah, I'm allowed to use my room. So the so first of all, that's objectionable, because the Ksav Sofer has a tshuva where he quotes from the Rambam in Hilchos Mila, is a diuk that the only time shvus to shvus is mutar b'makom mitzvah is if it happenstance, just happens like that. The water happens to spill for the Mila on Shabbos, and then you have to ask the Nachri to take water through a karmelis. Then okay, shvus to shvus is mutar b'makom mitzvah. But otherwise, it sounds like from the Rambam it's not allowed, and the Shaar HaTzion says that. In Simon Reish Mem Dawid, Sifkot and Lamed Hey, the Shaar HaTzion says that Amir Shvus to Shvus is only mutter. It's not a policy. It's mutter for a case of need. So to have a convention arranged where the policy is that you're going to rely on Shvus to Shvus and Mako Mitzvah is difficult. Or someone told me there's this is kind of interesting. There's a shul. I hope nobody knows where the shul is. There's a shul with an older rav, and when the air conditioning is on, I think now it's actually time, but there's a shul with an older rav where when the air conditioning was on, they couldn't hear the rav. So they had the Nachri turn off the air conditioning every time right before the drasha, and then the Nachri turned back on the air conditioning after the drasha. So first of all, we can down, is that called the makom mitzvah? But either way, it depends how good his drashas are. But either way, you can't do that every Shabbos. Or you have a shul where there's the only way to get to the shul is to ride on the elevator on Shabbos. So they ask the Nachri to stay in the elevator and push the buttons for everybody. So that's the sheet of the shul, is that they do a shvus to shvus and makom mitzvah in order to get to the to shul. So that's all difficult. All those shilas, but that's the sheet is always difficult. So Shlomo Zalman, Sir Rabbi Yashar said, no, what you can do to say to the hotel owner before Shabbos, you can say to him, listen, when we're arranging the convention, you can say to him, we cannot open the doors on Shabbos. he could either put in key locks, or he could post the Nachri on the floor. But then the reason that the Nachri is posted on the floor is not for me. The reason the Nachri is posted on the floor is because it's cheaper for him than putting in key locks. So Yashiv then said, oh, so then the Nachri on the floor is not doing anything for me, he's doing it for him. So he didn't have to put in key locks. It's an interesting svara. But if you're going to go with that, then you can't get there Friday night, Friday, and everyone's checking in and everyone's tumbling, what are we going to do with the keys? And then we run over to the manager and say, you either put in key locks, we can't come. And then he posts enough, but that's not for his benefit. Because we didn't. If you handle it when you first book the event, so then maybe there's that sabbalka. But let's say the Nachri opens the door using, if we would hold that electricity on Shabbos would be doraisa, like the Chazon Ish. So the Nachri opens the door for me, be'isa. Let's say he just opens the door for me. So then that would also be this shaila along the lines of one would aser like Rav Moshe opening the shul. If the Nachri carried it through a Rishus HaRabim, so then maybe we should aser if the Nachri opened the door, if we're choshish for the Chazon Ish. When the Nachri opens the door for me, so maybe I can't even benefit from the hotel room. Because he did it for me. If you don't have all your hater Meshvus to Shvus, and I didn't ask him before Shabbos, so maybe you can't even benefit from the room, if you're going to go with that spot. The Shulchan Aruch says, and that's Sif, Shin Zayin, Sif Yudal, that if the Nachri brings something for me, Michus L'tchub, you're not allowed to benefit from the item either. Even though he's not creating the item, he just brought it for me, Michutz L'tchum, that's also you're not allowed to benefit. That's called a Hana Chiyuvis, like a guy who lights a candle. So if you bring something for me, Michutz L'tchum, you're not allowed to benefit. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, Tov Lizar Shlo Yigaba, if the Nachri brings a letter for me on Shabbos, so you can have the Nachri read it, but Tov, you can read it, but Tov Shlo Yigaba. It's best that you not touch it. Why is it best that you not touch it? Because it's also for you, Bahana. So it's Muktzah.
Someone else read it for you?
I'm sorry?
Someone else read it for you?
You can read it yourself as long as the Nachri holds it.
Someone else.
What about another Jew? Yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah says we don't pass it like this. The Tov Vizar Shul Yigaba. You don't have to be machmir not to touch the letter because it's mutter for other Jews to touch. That whole halacha that if something comes Michutz L'tchum is also Bahana is only to you. Normally if a Nachri lights a candle for me, you're not allowed to benefit from it either. There's a unique halacha that something that's brought me chutz l'tchum is only usher for me, for the person who was brought from. Rashi asks in Beitza, why should that be so? Why is it different than every other time that Nachri does a malacha for me, then everyone is not allowed to benefit? And Rashi doesn't have any, he discusses this for a long time. The Ran there has an important answer. But anyway, this halacha is unique. That if it comes me chutz l'tchum, it's only usher for me. But since it's mutter for other Jews, so then it's not that's why it's not muksa. But it might be muksa for a different reason. It's important to realize why perhaps male is muksa is because the Mishnah Berurah there, Shin Zayin, Sif Yudawa, the Mishnah Berurah Sifkata Nun Dawid, says that the reason why you're allowed to read the letter, why isn't it muksa? You can't do anything with it. No, because you can read it on Shabbos. If you have something you can't read on Shabbos, it's muksa because of the definition you can't do anything with it. So Mishnah Berurah says, no, you can read this on Shabbos because maybe there's something that is l'tzarach haguf or tzarach acher on Shabbos, and that's why you can read it. So Rav Moshe writes in that Rav Moshe is quoted by Rabbi Bodner in his muksa book that in the days of telephones, and he was talking about when they had rotary phones, in the days of our advanced communication technology, the fastest way of doing things is not by, if someone had an urgent message for you, they wouldn't put it in the mail. So then Rav Moshe said, okay, now you can't read letters. You can't read it, so what are you going to do with it? So it's muktza. So then he quotes, Rabbi Bodner quotes him with Shlomo Zalman, no, but you could do other things with it. Tosa says that you could use paper, the letter is still not muktza, because Roy Lutzer are pizza l'chosiv. You could, they used to take, instead of a cork or something, they would wrap paper around the tops of bottles in order to keep things fresh. Put it in as a stopper. So Shlomo Zalman says that's why it's not muksa. So Moshe says nobody does this with their mail. Uses that stopper. So Shlomo Zalman said no, but you might use it as a bookmark. Well, I use mail as a coaster if you want to put a hot cup down. So then Shlomo Zalman says okay, so it's not muksa for that reason. But then or even Shlomo Zalman agrees, and this is also in the Mishnah Berurah of Kohen Nunvav, is that if you have checks, you have bills, nobody uses a check as a bookmark. At least nobody's smart. Uses a check as a bookmark. So then that's not called having another use on Shabbos. And maybe in my mail I have important things. So that's why many treat the mail as muktza on Shabbos, because you never know what's inside. Even though maybe you'll use the you know, the flyer as a bookmark, but there will be things in there that are more important, and you wouldn't use it as a bookmark. The Mishnah Berurah says mail is muktzah for a different reason over there, because you might violate the Isur of Hotzah by taking it from the Nachri. But all of us who live with there are Eruvin, you're not going to violate the Isur of Hotzah. The reason why we should treat it perhaps as muktzah is because there might be things in there that are important. I don't think most people use it for that. No, it's a mistake. People always use checks as bookmarks. He takes his checkbook and uses it as a bookmark. People don't use their mortgage bill as a bookmark. I don't think so.
So if we are machmir like the way in Arbam, so what does a person do if they find themselves with the only hotels in the area that are
if you find yourself, that's the operative word. You find yourself, okay, we can begin to discuss shvus deshvus makom mitzvah. Okay. But to go to arrange a convention without the shita is difficult.
Then
the room
might be
awesome. Oh, I'd say I get to the convention. I think there's a very religious convention. And then I get there, and all they have is this. Okay, so I found myself in that. But to go back next year again, that's already. That's a shita. That's not a one time thing. But then it should come out. Let's say you get a package. I know exactly what's here. I know it's a magazine that comes to my house on Shabbos. There's no important letters in there, there's no checks in there. Then perhaps that should not be muktzah if. And there's an important if it's mutter to read on Shabbos. It's a different story. If it's mutter to read on Shabbos. but if the Nachri did bring it to Be'isar, so then if the Nachri brought it Be'isar, and it's not just he violated Tchum Shabbos. If the Nachri brought it Be'isar, and this we'll get to in a few minutes about the Nachri bringing mail, or the Nachri bringing a newspaper, or the Nachri bringing a magazine that's supposed to come on Shabbos, if he violated other Isurim other than Tchum Shabbos, perhaps you're not allowed to benefit from it at all by reading it. That's discussed here in the Mishnah Berurah. And there, it would be muktzah because it's not muktzah for another Jew either. The only time that it's muktzah for other Jews and it's not muktzah is when all he violated was Isur of Tchum Shabbos. But if he violated other Isurim in getting it here, then it's also for me and it would be also for everybody else too, and then that would make it muktzah as well. But basically, the main point as it related to our discussion was that bringing something michutz l'tchum, even though he didn't create the item, that's also called a type of hana, which would be also to benefit from the ma'aseh of the Nachri. So lighting a candle, one is not allowed to benefit from what the Nachri did, even though he did it on his own. The Shulchan Aruch and Simin Reish Ayin Vav, Siv Daud quotes the Heter of the Agos Maimonides, that if there was already a candle in the room, is what we call mosif or, and the Nachri comes and adds another candle, then it is permissible to benefit from that which the Nachri did. But the Mishnah Berurah of Pel Lamed Beis says that's only if you could have done this activity with the previous light. If I'm sitting in here napping and there's one light in the room, and then the Nachri comes and turns on another light and now I can read, but before I wouldn't have read. No, that's not the Heter. The Heter is if I could have done the activity bedochak with the one light, then I can continue to do it even though now it's easier with the two lights. The Aruch HaShabbos has an interesting discussion. He says, well, then it should always be mutter for Nachri, or you could always be able to benefit from a light that a Nachri turns on in the room if it's during the day. How come the Mishnah in Shabbos doesn't say, because every time you're during the day, if there's going to be some sort of window in the room, there'll be some sort of sunlight. So who is the Mishnah talking about? That you're not allowed to benefit from the light that the Nachri lit?
Who lights in the middle of the day?
Isn't there light coming from the window?
And who lights lights in the middle of the day?
I'm saying a Nachri would come over.
Why
did
you talk about a case of a Nachri lighting a fire for you in the middle
of daytime? What? When you read, in dark rooms during the day?
It's only happening at night.
Of course.
Why would a Nachri light a fire for you in the daytime?
Okay. So Aruch HaShabbos has a suggestion. Okay, it's posh to you. And let's say, okay. Let's say I live outside of a place where they have neon lights coming from the bodega. So then that's always considered Mosefes Or. There's always the moon. There's some light that's coming in through the window. Some light's coming in. So isn't every light always a Tosefes Or? So Rosh Hashanah says, no, it must be that the light from outside of the room doesn't count. It has to be a light that's in this room. A light that's in this room. I don't know. Maybe if it's in an adjacent room, which I have in my closet one light, and then light another light, maybe that's called Tosefes Or.
He also rejects sunlight then?
Huh?
He also rejects sunlight?
Yeah, so sunlight doesn't count. That's not called Tosefes Or. Otherwise, there's moonlight. Otherwise, let's say there's a street lamp. I don't know. So he claims that the light has to be within the room. Yeah.
These clothes are only
Richard
says.
No. He says that in order to be called the Sefer Zohar, there has to be one light in the room. Can't be enough that there's a... Huh? No, you can't be right. That's his whole point. Is what the Mishnah is talking about with is absolutely pitch black. Where is it pitch black? Well, besides... Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he says that if the Nachri turns on the air conditioner in the room, you're also not allowed to benefit from the room. Again, I don't know if you have to run out of the room, but if the Nachri turns on the air conditioner in the room, you're not supposed to go in there because it's cool or to benefit from the air conditioning. Why? You couldn't have sat in there b'dochak? It's impossible to sit in that room? It's that hot? Obviously you could have sat there b'dochak. So why isn't that kol tosef ezor? So what we must say for Ramosha, and this he basically explains, is that you don't have that genre of Hana. The cool air, and again this is splitting hairs, the cool air genre of Hana you don't have. If the air conditioner is on, but it's not on high enough, and the Nachri turns it on higher, that's Tosefes Or. But if I didn't have an air conditioner on at all, that's not called Tosefes Or, because this genre of Hana I didn't have. Sunlight, moonlight, is not the same genre of Hana as the light within the room. So that's why it's not called Tosefes Or. That would explain the Mishnah Berurah's, the difficult Mishnah Berurah that Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, is Shin Chav Vav, Sekan Tez Vav, of a Nachri who shines shoes for me on Shabbos. I stepped in a big puddle of mud, and the Nachri sees the shoes, and she shines the shoes. So now can I wear the shoes? So Rabbi Neuberger was forced to say, no, it must be talking about a case where you couldn't wear the shoes before without the Nachri shining the shoes. But the Mishnah Berurah doesn't seem to say like that. It sounds like, as Neuberger mentioned, sounds like from the Mishnah Berurah that even if you could have worn the shoes, so it could be, I think the Orach HaShabbos even says this, that that's like Rav Moshe. You couldn't benefit from that genre of Hana until the Nachri shined the shoes. Yes, you could have worn the shoes. Yes, of course you could sit in a room even though it's boiling hot. But when the Nachri comes and he lights the air conditioning, that's like a new Hana, which you didn't have before.
And if there's a fan in the room, that would be okay. Is that the genre?
I don't know. Fan nowadays is poshness. Try and pass off a fan. Put in the ceiling fans downstairs, see how long that lasts. I don't think so. I don't know. Besides from the Iser of asking the Nachri to do something, besides from the Iser of benefiting from something that the Nachri did proactively, even if he did it on his own, there's another halacha which is not as widespread. Of being moche, if I see the Nachri doing something on my behalf, of being moche against the Nachri to tell him to stop doing it. The Magen Avraham quotes like this from Rabbeinu Simcha, who's quoted by the Agos Mordechai, that you actually have to be moche to a Nachri who I see doing a malacha on his own. Nobody asked him, but he does it on his own. The Magen Avraham doesn't quote this Rabbeinu Simcha consistently. By turning on the light, he says, if you see the Nachri turning on the light, then you have to tell him to stop. Rabbeinu Simcha was talking about any malacha the Nachri is doing. But the Magen Avraham picks and chooses where he quotes the Rabbeinu Simcha. He doesn't quote it all the time. So this leads to Chayyadam and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. This is the Chayyadam, I think, that Rabbi Neuberger was talking about, to distinguish between that same distinction that Tosos had. That if it's a proactive Hana, something like turning on a light, so if I see the Nachri doing it, I have to tell him to stop, because if he does it, I can't benefit. But if I see the Nachri doing something which I could benefit from that which he did, if he did it on his own, I don't have to be moche and tell him to stop. The same distinction that Tosfos had before. So then now comes up an interesting shaila. So then, let's say I see the Nachri turning on a light where there already is a light that's on. So do I have to tell him to stop? Should be not. Because if I could benefit from that malacha which the Nachri did, I don't have to tell him to stop from turning on the light. Well, let's say, can I be merames to a Nachri to turn on the light? Let's say in the shul there's one little light, but we're planning on having a shir here. So maybe it's Mr. Darabin, but let's say, I was asked this shaila, someone on Yontif wanted to have a shir and they had like another base medrash, there was a little light on, they wanted to have an Asiva Shalom shir. The first thing you have to do is just to shoot some Makom Mitzvah, but, so there were not Hasidic guys there, so they said, is that really Makom Mitzvah? We need your Asiva Shalom shir. But anyway... Anyway, yeah, should be a little more tolerant. But can one be merames to a Nachri to turn on a light where there's a light already? So that's a kastira in the Mishnah Berurah. It's a famous stira in the Mishnah Berurah. In one place, the Mishnah Berurah, Shin Zayin, Sekhanai, and Vav, says, of course, If the Nachri is doing something which I can benefit from, you don't have to be mocheh, and you can even be meramiz to the Nachri to turn on the light where there already is a light. But the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Reish Ayin Vav, Sifkat and Lamed Zayin, contradicts himself, and he says, what? You see the Nachri turning on the light, even though there's another light already, you have to tell him to stop, you have to be mocheh, and if he does it, you can't benefit. I'm sorry, no, you have to be mocheh, and you can't be meramiz to the Nachri to do it. Certainly can't be meramiz to the Nachri. You can benefit because it's a Tosefes R, but you can't be meramis him to do it, and if you see him doing it, you have to tell him to stop. So the first time I noticed this contradiction in the Mishnah Berurah, I said, oh, I'll look in the Shmir Shabbos. Shmir Shabbos has the same contradiction. He just quotes the Mishnah Berurahs in two different places. So later on, I discovered that the later Achronim discussed this. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about it, Rav Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva about it, Rav Moshe is Meiko, and that's the Minhag HaOlam, is that people will be meramis to an Achri to turn on a light if there already is a light there, since you can benefit from that which he did, and whenever you can benefit from that which he did, you don't have to be mocha, and then you can be merames. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says that no, you can't be merames to a nachri to turn on a light, even if it's only Tosefes R. I think the minig is like people are making on this, like, I'm not sure. If the Nachri does something for himself, if he lights a candle for himself, so the Mishnah says in Shabbos is permitted for the Yisrael to benefit from it. Why? Because Ner Le'echa, Ner Le'meya. If he lit a candle for himself, I can benefit from it too. The Mishnah even says if a Nachri brings water for his animals, I can benefit from that water too. So Gemara says, what do I need the two examples for? One, I could benefit from the candle. One, I could benefit from the water that he brings. He brought the water through Rishus HaRabim. I could benefit from that water for my animals. So the Gemara says, because you might have thought only a candle, which is Ner Le'echa, Ner Le'meya. One candle is the same whether it's for one or for 100. But water, you might have thought, maybe he'll bring more for me. It's not the same. We can't use the same water. I use part of the water. He uses part of the water. But even there, it's permissible if the Nachri brings water for himself that I could use the water. But the Gemara does say, if the Nachri knows me, and he might, when he's going to bring water from the well, bring water for me too. It's a Nachri HaMakiro. So then you're not allowed to benefit from the water that he brought, even though he brought it for himself. Maybe he'll bring more for you. That's what he says in the Shulchan Aruch Shin Chav Hei Sivyud, that if a Nachri cooks on Shabbos, so if the Nachri knows you, I don't know, but if he does something on Shabbos, a malacha that the Nachri does on Shabbos, if he knows you, he can't benefit from that which he did, even though he did it for himself. And the Nachri doesn't know you, then he can benefit. The only time we be makel by Nachri HaMakiro is if it's a candle, because Ner Le'echa, Ner Le'meya. So therefore, let's say if a person is in a hotel and they heat up water on Shabbos. Let's say a guy is the only Jew in the hotel. He got stuck in a Best Western somewhere. And they have a continental breakfast on Shabbos, and he wants to go down. At least he'll get a cup of coffee. They heat up the water. They have a whole breakfast over there. Okay, so can he use the water? So the water was heated up for the Nachrim. So it wasn't heated up for him. Then nobody had any idea he was even there. They don't do it anyway. So then that should be allowed. But if they know that there's a Jew there, they know, maybe that's called Makiro. They know how many people are there. So maybe they're going to be Marva Bishvil. No, maybe that's called Makiro, even though they don't know he's Jewish. But maybe they'll add for him, so that should be Xera Shema Yarva Bishvil, maybe.
The case in the world where the boy cooks for himself and you take him the food because Badavki he sees you take it?
No, well, he doesn't know you're there. Ain't no Makiro. He wouldn't do it for you. But here the waiter heats up the food for you. So maybe we should call that Nachri for all the guests. And they probably know how many guests are there. So it should be called Nachri HaMakiro.
No, the case in the world that's also where you take him for it is because he knows you're taking from it. We assume that the case is.
No, that's the case. That's what the Shulchan Aruch distinguishes. If he's Makiro, it's not allowed. If he's not Makiro, it is allowed. Well, let's say Nachri does something for a whole group of people. By the way, this is another parenthetical. This comes up. The Nachri does something for himself, then it's permissible for me to benefit. Let's say the Nachri, Bir Halacha and Simir Reishan Vav Sif Aleph says that the Nachri turns off a light betos. We left all the rights just so in the house. And enough, he decides to be a good Samaritan and save electricity and turns off all the lights in the house. And we wake up in the morning and say, what'd you do? We turned off all the lights. So enough says, oh, I'm sorry, and he turns on all the lights. So then we are allowed to benefit from the lights, because enough, he did it for himself, because he made a mistake. That's called the Nachri doing it for himself. Anyway. Or, I'm sorry, there's another point. Mishnah Berurah, Simei Reish, Ayin Vav, Sifkan Lamed Vav, says if the Nachri comes in and wants to turn on the light for me, and I say, no, no, it's not necessary. And the Nachri says, no, no, I insist. And they turn on the lights. So then again, the Mishnah Berurah says, that's called for himself. He did that to make himself feel good. He didn't do that for my benefit. The Gemara says, if let's say a Nachri comes and he does something for a whole group of people, there's Nachrim here, there's Jews here, we don't know who he's doing it for. So the Gemara says, we go based on Rov. If it's Rov Nachrim, then it's permissible to benefit from. If it's Rov Yisraelim, then it's not permissible to benefit from. And the Mishnah Shulchan Aruch says in Reish Ayin Vav Sif Beis that if we know who he's doing it for, he goes over to the Jews and he says, is that good? So even though there's Rov Nachrim, so he did it for the Jews, then it's not permissible to benefit from. Or the opposite, if there's a Miut Nachrim and a Rov Yisraelim, but we know he did it for the Nachrim, then it would be permissible to benefit from. But let's say, and this is the shayla that always comes up, let's say he does it for both. He does it for everybody who's here. He would have done the same thing for everybody. But he does it for everybody. So Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Magen Avraham that that's Aser. The only time we go based on Rov is when there's a Suffolk. Here we know he did it for everybody, that's Aser. The beer is a long beer halacha there. Reish Ayin Vav, Sif Aleph, or Sif Beis. That, who quotes from the Chai Adam that that's allowed. And then the Mishnah Berurah shows that it's a Machlokas HaRishonim. But the Nishmas Adam paskins that if you do it for something for a whole group of people, then it's allowed. And the Kilkelos HaShabbos says, and it makes good sense, if he does something, he would have done the whole thing for the Nachrim anyway. He would have put out this whole continental breakfast, the exact same thing. The guy puts out one urn of this decaf, one urn of this coffee, one urn of that coffee, two trays of eggs or whatever. He was going to do the whole thing. He can't eat the eggs, obviously, but he's going to do the whole thing for whoever is there. So then he was going to put out the same breakfast, whether I came in last night, I didn't come in last night, so then that's permissible for me to benefit from, because he's not doing it for me. He does it for everybody, whether I'd be here or not. But that's the machlokes between the Magen Avraham and the Chayei Adam. Many poskim say that the minig is like the Chayei Adam lahakel. Rabbi Bereish and his Chalkos Yaakov said that the minig always was to take cruises, even though the cruises traveled, continued to travel on Shabbos, as long as the Kona Shvisa on the boat. The only issue would be that the Nachri operate, the boats don't run on their own. You don't just press the boat and everything goes. Nachrim are doing malacha to make the boat continue to go. So it's constantly Amiru and Nachri, and Nachrim are doing it for all of the passengers. All of the passengers is probably Jews and non-Jews. So Chalkos Yaakov said people always had the minhag to be mekel to go on these cruises, because we could assume that they're going to run the cruise anyway. For the Nachrim, so he says as long as it's Rov Nachrim, the minig was to be mekel. I've asked around also, many posts told me as long as the cruise is Rov Nachrim, then one can be mekel, but the others, the Kilkelos HaShabbos, would be mekel even if it's not Rov Nachrim. If they were going to run the cruise regardless, so then maybe it should be mutter. The Orach HaShabbos discusses interesting shayla. He says no, they don't run these cruises till it's filled up. If they have a few empty cabins, they won't go. All right. But either way, the minig is to be mekel if it's Rov Nachrim, yeah.
But so then that causes a whole problem with the Pesach cruises, or so-called, where specifically it's a kosher company, Jewish...
No, usually they're... Whenever they have a kosher cruise, usually, cruise ships are gigantic. So it's usually different groups rent out the cruise ship, and part of it is Jewish. They have their own kitchen or whatever. But most of the cruise is usually not Jewish. As far as I know. Anyway, somebody correct me if I'm wrong. But all these kosher cruises that you hear about, they don't take over the whole... These cruise ships are like city blocks long. So. Ramosh has a similar tshuva where he says, let's say the power goes out on Shabbos in your block in Borough Park. And now they come and turn back on the power on Shabbos. So they turn back on the power for Rov Yisraelim. So you're allowed to benefit from the electricity on Shabbos. You're benefiting from something that was done for Rov Yisraelim. So Moshe says that it is allowed because there's not from there too. So Moshe seems to be mekel even if it's Rov Yisraelim. As long as it's done for both, he says the minig is like the Chai Adam, but as long as it's done for both, then it should be allowed. Besides which, Moshe says they can't, here it's better because they can't possibly turn on the electricity for the Nachum without turning it on for you too. So maybe that's why here we're mekel even though it's Rov Yisraelim. like along the lines of the Svar, the people who are makel to use the electricity in Eretz Yisrael because they have to keep the electricity, Rabbi Gorin said, because they have to keep the electricity on for the cholim, and you never know where there could be a chole, or could develop a chole. So then, even though the electrical plants are run by Jews, you're allowed to use electricity in Eretz Yisrael because they have to keep it on for the cholim, and they can't distinguish between the cholim and the non-cholim. So to over here, perhaps it's because they can't distinguish. But generally speaking, the mutter, the minig is only to be mako if it's rov nachrim. This relates to the discussion which we need to have, we'll do right now, about mail and newspapers and magazines. Now we have enough to have that discussion. We mentioned that if a Nachri does something for himself, that's allowed. We mentioned that if a Nachri does, you're allowed to benefit from it. We mentioned if a Nachri does something for a whole group of people, as long as Rav Nachrim is permissible to benefit from it. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says in Simei Reish Mem Zayin Sif Aleph that one is allowed to put a letter into the mailbox on Erev Shabbos, as long as it's Kotzei Tzchar. Kotzei Tzchar is that we have the prices agreed upon. Tell them in advance so everybody knows when you put a stamp on it how it's Kotzei Tzchar already. Because otherwise it looks like I'm paying him to do it on Shabbos specifically. But there's a detail over there. But with Kotzei Tzchar, you're allowed to put the envelope into the mailbox Erev Shabbos, as long as I don't tell the guy to go on Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah says, even though other posts can say as well, even though it says on the mailbox the guy comes at 12 o'clock every day and at 5 o'clock every day, so I know he's going to come on Shabbos to pick up the letter. Nonetheless, I don't care if he comes on Shabbos. If he comes on Monday, I'm fine too. I'm not in a big rush. So if he comes on Monday, it's okay. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says here, the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to put a letter into the mailbox, even Erev Shabbos. It's a little bit difficult because Mishnah Berurah there, Sivkal and Yitzayin, says, Shalom Malcolm Hef said you shouldn't put it in right before Shabbos. I haven't seen that quoted by the other Poskim.
It's not even like right before Shabbos now. I mean, the main point on Friday,
even if it is right before Shabbos, on your way to shul, you want to drop a few letters in the mailbox, should be allowed, because I don't tell the guy to come on Shabbos. He's going to come anyway, but he does that for himself. He comes at 12 o'clock, he doesn't come at 5 o'clock, that's for himself. I don't ask him to come at those times, and I don't even care if he comes. The only time it would be a problem is if it's an express letter. So an express letter, I care that the guy should travel on Shabbos. So then we could begin to have the discussion. Let's say I mail it on Friday, I say I want it to be there on Tuesday. Two-day mail, overnight, so be there, mailed on Friday, I want it to be there Monday. So now I need the guy to travel on Shabbos, now I care. So now I'm really asking him to travel on Shabbos, so is that allowed? This is a tshuva in the Shvus Yaakov. And he teaches us a very important lesson. Whenever you're making an argument, you should never put in a weak point in your argument. If you have an argument, make the best argument that you can. So the Shvus Yaakov begins his argument, well, it's Amira D'Amira. Once he says, well, it's Amira D'Amira, everybody tunes him out, because we don't pass him like that Amira D'Amira unless it's a Shasa Chagodo, the Megal by the Amira D'Amira. So then people already think he's finding coolers. But then the Shvus Yaakov says something that's very important. The Shvus Yaakov says, no, but most of the time, even when you send an express letter, the guy's going anyway. I give it to the guy on Friday, the UPS man, I tell him, please take it to there by Monday. At no point in time will there be a vehicle where my package is the only package in the car or in the plane or whatever on Shabbos. It will always be with other packages. And most of those packages will be for the Nachrim. Ah! But he's doing it for both of us. So he said the minig is like the Nishmas Adam, like the Chai Adam, that is, even if it's, since it's Rov Nachrim, even though the Nachri is doing the Malacha for both of us, we are Mekel. If you're going to be machmir on that shayla, you can never get off the ground over here. Because the Nachri is traveling for me on Shabbos too. And when the Magen Avraham said, whenever the Nachri does malacha for both of us, it's not allowed. But if we ask like the Chayyad, we're willing to be mekel. So as long as it's Rav Nachrim in the UPS truck, that should be allowed.
When you send things to a specific house...
We're going to get to it in a second. And then the Shulchan Yaakov has a raya, because the Shulchan Aruch says in Reish Mem Zayin Sif Hey that if a Nachri is going anyway, that's the Sif about giving the mail. So the Shulchan Aruch says if a Nachri is going anyway somewhere, I can give him a letter to take along on top of the letters that he already has. Many Yehudi Holich Me Atzmo Nosin Le Igeres, you can give him your letter. Why? Because Ner Lechem Ner Lemeya, the guy's going anyway. So the Magen Avraham. We'll get back to that. Anyway, so that's the Shvus Yaakov's Raya. The UPS man is going there anyway, so I give him the package to travel on Shabbos. That should all be allowed. Then it should come out. The Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva that this is allowed. The Marsham has a tshuva that the minig is to be mekel even with an express package, as long as it's traveling on Shabbos. The problem becomes if, let's say, I want it delivered on Shabbos. So now I'm really asking the guy to stop his UPS truck by my house, just for me, and carry it from the UPS truck to my house. So first of all, to carry it from the UPS truck to my house, if you live in an area where there's an Eruv, so you get out of that problem. But I'm asking the guy to stop the UPS truck by my house. So that should not be allowed. That's a bigger shaila. So Rabbi Dine Weiss, I think, suggests, but listen, come on, we've all sent stuff overnight or 2 days. And lots of times I'll call up the next day and say, sorry, it got stuck somewhere, or no, 1 day starts at 3 o'clock or at 1 o'clock, but if you send it later, you don't get the 1 day. So there's always 1 or 2 days of leeway, even in the 1 day mail, or the 2 day mail, the express mail. So Dan White says, perhaps then that's called the Daite Denafshe Avad. Maybe. Maybe. But I had a different svar. If you live in an area where there is an Eruv, so the only issue is that the UPS truck stops in front of my house. So I thought, listen, I don't know, I've never followed the UPS man around, but I have a sinking suspicion that he very rarely stops only on my block in that entire neighborhood. He usually goes from one block to the next block to the next block. So he parks at the bottom of my block, delivers one package. Then he drives his whole big van up 3 houses to my house to drop off my package. Who told him to drive the van from the bottom of the block to the top of the block? I don't need that for me. That he does for himself. Am I really asking him to do something so ridiculous, to walk from the bottom of the block to the top of the block, from one block to another block? The mailman does that all the time. So I don't know if that's so ridiculous. If the truck would break, he'd probably just deliver my package 3 houses away by walking. So the fact that the Nachri stops in front of my house with his big truck, that he does for himself. So maybe.
Maybe that should be allowed.
The more Jewish the area. Yeah. The Magen Avraham disagrees with that Shulchan Aruch, and he says, "Whoa! Just because the guy's taking a whole satchel of mail doesn't mean you could add your letter to it, because Ner Le'ech and Ner Le'meir is when it's the same candle that works for both. But here you're adding to it, which is, if you're familiar with the phrase, should be a ribui b'shiurim. If I cook more than I need to for a chola, that's a shaila on Shabbos of ribui b'shiurim. You're doing more. You're doing a malacha which in essence is mutter. He's carrying for Nachrim. But I ask him to do more for me. So he's doing it for me now too. So that's ribui b'shiurim. So everyone says it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham are arguing is ribui b'shiurim mutter by Amiru Anachri, is ribui b'shiurim also by Amiru Anachri. The Shulchan Aruch obviously held that it's allowed because he can give your extra letter to the Nachri, and the Magen Avraham disagreed. The ribui b'shiurim is also. So that's the big shiloh by a newspaper. If you can, you have the newspaper delivered to your home on Shabbos. Subscribe to a newspaper which comes on Shabbos. So the Maram Shik has the first tshuva about this, and he says that it's usur. Why? Because by subscribing to the newspaper, you're basically asking the Nachri to print for you a newspaper Friday night. So the Be'er Moshe, that's the Deborah Tziner, has a tshuva where he says that it should depend. If they don't know that Jews read the newspaper, or they don't print any more I subscribe to a newspaper, they're not printing any more newspapers because I subscribe. So he says, either way, they're printing the same amount of newspapers. Now it's for Jews and non-Jews. Okay, so we're maker like the Chayyadim. If a malacha is done for Jews and for non-Jews, as long as it's Rov non-Jews and most of the readership of the newspaper, unless it's a Jewish press, are going to be non-Jews. So it should be allowed. But let's say you have a newspaper where they know how many Jews subscribe to the newspaper. You say, yeah, I could cancel my subscription, they won't print less. But if all the Jews canceled their subscriptions, they would print less. So the Maram Shik said, well, let's say all the Jews canceled their subscription to the New York Times. They probably would print less New York Times. Probably. That's the assumption. If that assumption is wrong, so then it should be like the Be'er Moshe. Either way, they're going to print the same amount of copies. And maybe one could argue, I don't have to... No. I think you do. The fact that they're printing for Jews, that should make it awesome. So if you know that they're printing it for Jews and for non-Jews, or I'm asking the guy to print one for me, so that perhaps should be a shaila. Because now I'm basically asking him to print a newspaper for me. But maybe that's to be this shaila of Ribu B'Shiurim. When they print the newspapers, they don't print one, this is going to this person. One, this is going to this yid. No, they press a button and all of them come out. So that should be like a ribui b'shiurim. like the guy who gives the envelope, the letter to the mail carrier. Maybe that could be called Ribi B'Shiurim. So Magen Avraham would be Machmir anyway because it's done for Jews and for non-Jews. And he would be Machmir because he holds Ribi B'Shiurim as Aser on Shabbos. But if you put together all the kulos that we hold like the Nishmas Adam, that if things are done, the Malach is done for Rov non-Jews, even though it's done for Jews too, and you put that together with the Het of the Shulchan Aruch, that Ribi B'Shiurim is Mutar on Shabbos, perhaps we can begin to see a reason to be Mako over here. Perhaps. But then you have another problem. So that's everybody is. Here, this is Ribui B'Melachos. Ribui B'Melachos means not that we're doing one Melacha with a bigger shear, you're doing more Melachos. Not that I'm cooking a bigger steak for the Chola. He only needs a kezias of a steak. And I cook a big steak. That's Ribui B'Shiurim. Ribui B'Melachos means he needs one pot of chicken soup and I cook two. So I could use either one for the Chola, that's true. So I could say, no, this one's for the Chola. Then I change my mind, no, this one's for the Chola. But that's Ribui B'Melachos. Ribui B'Melachos is never allowed. So here, it's row of Nachrim. But, and it's Ribui B'Shiurim, he only presses one button, but it's like he presses a button which lights two pots. That's Ribui B'Melachos. So that's why it's very difficult, the coolers by the newspaper. The Orcha Shabbos has, and there's a third volume of Orcha Shabbos where he has original Chidushim. So he quotes over there, I think, and he has a whole piece about this topic of Ribui B'Shiurim on Shabbos, and he quotes there from Rebbe Yashiv, perhaps even, I think he quotes from Shlomo Zalman, the Shmir Shabbos, that perhaps by Amir or Nachri we don't distinguish between Ribui B'Melachos and Ribui B'Shiurim. Because at the end of the day, it's happening with one act, and that one act can be attributed to the Rav Nachrim. So if you go with his Chiddush over there from Rabbi Yash, from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, maybe by the newspapers you can be Mekel. Because even though it's Ribui B'Melachos, but maybe Ribui B'Melachos is the same as Ribui B'Shiurim when it comes to Amir or Nachri. Yeah, but you have to make sure the guy's not doing a malacha just for you. I know there's a bungalow colony somewhere, or you have a gated community where the guy who runs the gated community goes out and buys a newspaper for people, and he comes and delivers it every day to people's houses. So that's not that they're printing the newspaper and the newspaper delivers it for me to Rav Nachrim. If it's a gated community which is all Jewish and he just buys the newspaper just for the Jews to deliver it to them, then you have him to deal with. That's a different story. Yeah.
We also say that perhaps since there are newsstands that sell newspapers, but they don't always sell all the newspapers that they buy to sell.
The Shaila is, if all the Jews would cancel their newspapers, would they print less? And if the answer is yes, which the research needs to be done, but if the answer is, and the assumption is yes, if the answer is yes, then now they're printing newspapers for Jews. So now the Shaila is, can you benefit from that? So we say the Chayei Adam, oh, they're doing it for both. Ah, but here they're printing one, that's one malacha that's done just for you. But here, they're doing a malacha specifically just for you. Okay, Ribui B'Shiurim, this is not even Ribui B'Shiurim, where I'm carrying a UPS truck for Jews and non-Jews. Here this is Ribui B'Melachos. I'm putting up two pots. I'm printing two newspapers. So, but maybe one could be made even by Ribui B'Melachos for Amiru Enachri. Or let's say a person wants to put an ad in the newspaper that's going to run on Shabbos. So Chalkas Yaakov has a tshuva where he answers that. He says, that's Ribui B'Melachos. They're printing the newspaper anyway, but now they're printing my ad. I told them, it's basically like I'm paying them, please print this on Shabbos. So that's not, they're pressing one button, but that's Ribui B'Melachos. But this Orcha Shabbos is make on that too, maybe. Because there, they're pressing one button, and maybe we don't distinguish in Ribui B'Melachos and Ribui B'Shiurim, and here most of the newspaper has nothing to do with me. It's a cool one. Maybe there is to put a lot of things together, maybe there's what to discuss. If a Nachri does a malacha for me on Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from it, as we said, and you have to wait till Matzei Shabbos Bechlei Sheyasu. Bechlei Sheyasu means until they would have had time to do this malacha that I want to benefit from. So it should depend on what the malacha is. Like a lot of times after Shabbos, you have communities where there's a kosher Dunkin' Donuts. So they tell you you cannot go to the kosher Dunkin' Donuts for an hour after Shabbos. That's because they figure whatever you order, it's not going to take an hour after Shabbos to buy it. So they make a gzera, lo plug, of an hour. But if you want to go in and order a cup of coffee, we know how long it takes to make a cup of coffee. So then it should be mutter in less time. It depends on the item that you're buying. It sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch that if the malacha itself has something to do with traveling from place to place, then you have to wait as long as it would take to get from that place to that place. So if I benefit from a malacha which takes the nachri has to travel from place to place, so you have to wait on Matzei Shabbos as long as it takes to get from place to place. That's why the bus that leaves on Shabbos, so the Orach HaShabbos claims, since the Bechdei Shiyasu includes how long it takes to get from place to place, so then you'd have to wait for the bus so that the bus could have had time to leave and come to me after Shabbos was already over. Yeah.
But then in Donuts, though, the fear is that if I start coming once to Shabbos, then they'll start making it for me.
No, they do. They make for the Jews from once to Shabbos. Uh-huh. That's Yadua. If you go to a place where they don't do that for Jews, then it's okay. Most of the Dunkin' Donuts and kosher neighborhoods make for the Jews. I was wondering, though, because I came across this, learning these halachas, there's a Magen Avraham in Simei Reish Nun Beis. I don't know if Sifkan Tess, maybe the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, that if there's no Shem Yisrael on it yet, a Nachri could walk in and buy my donut. I'm waiting in line on my eye and a donut, a Nachri could buy it too. So as long as there's no Shem Yisrael on it, it's not. Is it really for me? Anybody could come in and buy it. There could be a convention of non-Jews who walk in and buy out the Dunkin' Donuts. So is that really called the malacha that's nasis for Yisrael? So I thought the Magen Avraham said no. But then I was left wondering exactly, then why do all these Vadim and local kashrus organizations make these gzeros of after Shabbos, you have to wait a certain amount of time. I don't know, something to think about. Shulchan Aruch and Shin Zayin Sif Hei. Now we'll discuss a few of the heterim. Where is it mutter to do Amiru and Afri? Different cases. So Shin Zayin Sif Hei, the Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions about Amiru Lenachri B'mako Mitzvah. One opinion is that a Shvus to Shvus is Mutter B'mako any Mitzvah. The other opinion in Shulchan Aruch is that Shvus to Shvus is only Mutter B'mako Mila. That's a Gemara. That if you forget the water, I think we did this when we were learning Hilchos Mila, if the water spills, maybe Erevin, if the water spills, you can ask the Nachri to bring the water to wash the baby through a Carmelis. So you see that Amir Shvus to Shvus is Mutter B'makom the Mitzvah of Mila. So one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch is that's only by Mila. The other opinion is by any Mitzvah, and the Ramah says the Minig is to be Mekel. The Prima Gadim says we only find the precedent for Shvus to Shvus if one of the Shvusin is Amir Lenachri. Let's say one of the Shvusin is not Amir Lenachri. It's a Shvus, a different Shvus. So Prima Gadim says maybe there is no Heter of Shvus to Shvus B'makom Mitzvah, or wherever Shvus to Shvus is Mutter, if it's one of them is not Amir Lenachri. However, Bavadi Yosef, Rabbi Shachter quotes this in the Bikvei Atzon, has a sefer just on Hilchos Shabbos called the Viaschein. So in that sefer, he proves from Matosos and Maseches Ksubos that this heter of Shvus to Shvus applies even if one of the Shvusin is not Amir Lenachri. And the Bir Halacha assumes like that throughout. If you pay attention to this, it seems to be that it's throughout. The Bir Halacha assumes one of the Shvusin does not have to be Amir Lenachri. So that's why it should come out if, let's say, one is, I've heard this from a chef. Let's say a guy, you walk into the bedroom and the lights are on. Someone turned on the light by accident. So you can turn off the light kalachar yad. Why? Because with your foot or something. Why? Because turning off a light is malach shein tzricha legufa. You don't need pecham, besides the fact that maybe it's a fluorescent light. So it's malach shein tzricha legufa and you do a kalachar yad. There's a nachri around. Better ask a nachri. That's a real shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. What's the mitzvah of onik Shabbos? To go to sleep. You have 10 bedrooms in the house, so go to a different bedroom. But if you have no other bedroom to sleep in, so that would be mutter. Or let's say the alarm that was going off. So again, that would probably be shvus to shvus to turn it off kalach yad b'makom mitzvah, the mitzvah of onik Shabbos. So our Shabbos discussion with Shaila comes up a lot. Let's say you're in a person is in a Carmelis, a place where there's no Erev. And he needs to get the shul on Shabbos, but the guy is disabled. He's in a wheelchair. So can you ask the Nachri to push the guy with the wheelchair through the Karmus in order to get the shul? That's a shvus, the shvus should be mutter b'makom mitzvah. So the Shabbos is make on that. Many posts are make on that. But that's a regular, that's your classical case, the shvus b'makom mitzvah. We shouldn't be our policy. Yeah, but this guy, what's he supposed to do? He has no other choice. It's not, it is a b'di'evit situation. That he's in a wheelchair.
But we wouldn't ask him to live in a mishpat there.
I don't know if we take that b'di'evit that far. Then he quotes a Machavas Yor that disagrees, who said there's a mitzvah to daven b'tzibur. Your tefillah has a better chance of being accepted. This is a bigger discussion. Is there an obligation to daven b'tzibur? It's a mitzvah or it's an etzah toivah. You want your tefillah to be answered, you better daven b'tzibur. But he said, who said there's a mitzvah to daven b'tzibur? You can daven at home. So the Chavos Yoreh says, this is not, we wouldn't be meiko to be called a shvus to shvus, that's mutter b'makom mitzvah. But I don't know, what's interesting is you only get the shayla on Shabbos, because we're only talking about when there's an Isser on Shabbos. So the Ramban writes in Parashas Emor, again, this is way off of discussion, but the Ramban writes in Parashas Emor that there's a mitzvah to daven in shul on Shabbos. It's part of the that's part of what it means, Mikroi Kodesh, is that we call everybody together to come to shul on Shabbos. So everybody seems to agree that there's a mitzvah to daven b'tzibur on Shabbos. But let's say people want to go eat by their friends in a place where there's no Erev, and they want to push the stroller, so they ask the Nachri to push the stroller. So that's a shvus to shvus, that's mutter b'makom what? So we can socialize. I don't know if that's called a mitzvah of oneg Shabbos. You have to be... this requires some thought. So what, when this would be mutter, yeah.
Not being cooped up in the apartment.
Well, if it's going to extend their life, it's pikuach nefesh.
It's not valid, but the fact that they're not
really
staying inside because they can go out
might
be something
which
they should be.
Okay.
So,
how old
do
you have to be? I don't know. Okay, maybe. Maybe. Very good. All these things need to be considered. The Ramah and Simon Reish Ayin Vav Sif Beis Kotzum Abala Itur, who's mekel by Amir Lanachri for any mitzvah, because the Gemara says in Maseches Gittin that Kotzman of Ono Afil B'Shabbos, you can write a Shtar Mechira to be Kona Karka in Eretz Yisrael even on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, how can you do that on Shabbos? You can't write it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, yes, Anachri. So the Gemara says, Amir Lanachri is Azar on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, Amir Lanachri B'Makum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael L'Gazu Bei Rabbanon. So Bala Itur says, yeah, you see from here that b'makom mitzvah lo gazu bei rabbanon there's a heter of amiru l'nachri. And the Ramah says, no, it's davka Eretz Yisrael, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, not by all other mitzvahs. So the Ramah quotes the opinion of the Bala Itur, though, that by any mitzvah, amiru l'nachri is allowed. And the Ramah says you can only be meiko b'makom tzarech gadol, and I think the Mishnah Berurah even disagrees with that. That even b'makom tzarech gadol, you can't rely on the Bala Itur. But then the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha there, Simen Reish Ayin Vav Sif Beis, quote from the Chai Adam, that b'makom mitzvah derabim, a mitzvah derabim, we can rely on the Bala Iter. So therefore, if the Erev falls down on Shabbos, you could always ask the Nachri to go back and put up the Erev. Even though it involves, he's going to do Malacha D'Oraisa. Because that's b'makom mitzvah derabim. But the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Noda Behuda, I think Rabbi Neuberger mentioned this, that they used to light candles in the shul. The Nachrim used to light candles in the shul by Ne'ilah time in order so they should be able to daven. That what they felt was a mitzvah of the rabbin. I'm sorry, the Noda Behuda says they shouldn't do that, right?
Yeah.
The Noda Behuda says they shouldn't do that. So I think the Posim discussed, why should you not do that? Isn't that the same as every mitzvah of the rabbin? So I think Rabbi Neuberger discussed, maybe because they didn't have to do it or something? Is that what you said?
For the piyutim.
Or maybe because that was the shita. That was what they did every week. That wasn't the Erev that fell down. That's like they're traveling up and down in the elevator. It's the only way to get to the shul. The only way to have Ne'ilah is to do this every year. So maybe this is not a shita to rely on this opinion. That's where Moshe has a tshuva. Let's say the candles go out. The candles. Let's say the lights go out in shul. So you can ask the guy, who the janitor works in the shul, to turn on the lights. Can't be Meramis Tim, because otherwise it's a joke. It's not a remes. He knows what you're saying to him. He works there. But you can ask the Nachri to turn on the lights, could be makom mitzvah derabim, so that everyone could daven b'tzibur. So I think that the Ramosha, or maybe someone distinguished, because the Noda Behuda was talking about that was what they did every year on the Ila. This is something that happens by accident. Or let's say the air conditioning goes off, you can ask the Nachri to turn on the air conditioning in shul, be makom mitzvah derabim. But Ramosha says, let's say you're not sure if you need the air conditioning. So we'll leave it off. And if we end up needing it, we'll ask the Nachri. So Ramosha says, that's not right. Because then you're relying on this heter, this is what you're going with. When you go into Shabbos, is we're going to say, if it gets hot, we'll ask the Nachri to turn it on. No. If you think you need it now, turn it on. You don't think you need it now, then you shouldn't turn it on. But if you're afraid you might need it, you should turn it on. Rabbi Yashiv has a tshuva in his Kovetz Tshuvas, which I believe is in the binder, that he allows this, he says you should not allow this heter to turn on lights in a Beis HaMedrash so people could learn. Why is a mitzvah derabim? So I think the Orach HaShabbos quotes from Rabbi Aaron Cutler that he was Mako on this. Rabbi Yashiv says maybe you shouldn't do this because he says we're so Mako on the halachas of Amir Lanachri that we just reproots him the halachas of Amir Lanachri, so he doesn't think it should be done for Bnei Yeshiva, so they could be able to learn Torah, even though it should be a mitzvah derabbanan. So Rav Shatta suggests another reason why perhaps this might be different. Because what is the pshat over here that we rely on the Balei Ita when it's a makom mitzvah derabim? Is that like a Shas Adchak? The Mishnah Berurah wasn't so happy about Shas Adchak relying on the Balei Ita. So Rav Shatta had a different pshat. He suggests that perhaps what the Balei Ita meant to say is the following. And perhaps this is what we rely on the Balei Ita for. The Gemara said in Maseches Get in the Kosman of Ono if you will be Shabbos. You can write a Shtar Mechira for Karkin Eretz Yisrael even on Shabbos. Because when makom Yishav Eretz Yisrael will gazu bei Rabbanan. So, but that is a mitzvah. There's a machlokas rishonim there, and that Gemara in Gittin is that talking about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael or the mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael? Are we conquering a new house, or no? I'm settling in the land. It's my private mitzvah, but not the mitzvah that's on us collectively of Kibush Eretz. So it's a machlokas harishonim between the Rivash and the Tashbeis. So if Shechter suggested perhaps whenever it's a mitzvah hamutelas al harabim, like Kibush Eretz. So then we can rely on the Balei Ita, because that's really what the Gemara meant to say. That perhaps by a makom that's a mitzvah derabim, like Kivush Haaretz, lo gazur bei rabbanan, a mitzvah of tefillah betzibur, that's on all of us collectively. A mitzvah of fixing the Eruv, that's on us collectively. So there, lo gazur bei rabbanan, perhaps that's what we rely upon. If that Gemara over there is talking about Kivush Haaretz. So then though, but by Talmud Torah, that's an individual chiyuv. So even though we're all learning together in the same room, that since that's not a collective obligation, perhaps over there we would not be makel the makom mitzvah derabin. The Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Lamed Aleph Sif Yud Ches that we're makel on Amir Lanachri to save Kisvei HaKodesh. But that's only by Kisvei HaKodesh. But in Shin Zayin Sifkat in Chaf Beis, the Mishnah Berurah says that we're only Mako for another Hefseid, not with Amir Lanachri outright, but only a Shvus to Shvus. Shvus to Shvus is Mutar B'makom Mitzvah or B'makom Hefseid, or even B'makom Tzarech Gadol. The Mishnah Berurah Shin Hei Sifkat in Ayin says if there's a Tzar Ba'alei Chaim, so Shvus to Shvus is Mutar. A Kavod Abrios Isru, Shvus to Shvus is Mutar. Shvus to Kavod Abrios might even be Mutar Amir Lanachri. Because it's kavod abrios for mekel on isur midrabbanan. But if there's any tzorech, so one could be a major tzorech, one could be mekel with a shvus to shvus, but not amir or nachri outright. But it could be kavod abrios. I was thinking about this. Someone asked me, their sewer broke, erev Shabbos. So they called the nachri to fix it, but nachri was going to come on Shabbos. So can they be mekel to fix the sewer? They had no bathrooms in the house. They could, every time they go to the bathroom, go sleep. You know, it was every Shabbos, like 2 hours before Shabbos. Couldn't go pack up and go sleep by somebody else. So it's a kavod abrios issue. So I thought they could ask with a betzera for other kulas. The nachri did come on Shabbos to fix the sewer, even though fixing a sewer is a daraisa. But amir lenachri should be mutter b'makom kavod abrios. Okay, we're going to stop here. There's a lot of halachos about working on Shabbos, kablanos on Shabbos, po'alim on Shabbos. We ran out of time. But you saw most of the Shulchan Aruch. I think Rabbi Neuberger touched on it a little bit. And the rest will fill in. Okay, Shkaya Chamitzchem, the Bechina will be on Monday at 1 o'clock here in this room. Hatzlach HaRabbah, Rabbi Zenke Shabbos. Huh?
Position regarding the hotels. Leaving aside the Shvus to Shvus Makom Mitzvah issue, but it really boiled down to a guide to the Nafshei Abad because of the locks. So, I'm having trouble with this Hagdara because isn't that qualitatively different? I mean, asking him to replace.
You mean Rabbi Yashiv Singh?
I'm sorry?
You're talking about Rabbi Yashiv Singh. If I ask him,
exactly.
I'm ready to share.